Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest show on earth.
Yes!
I just had a terrible thought. The only show on the internet.
It's the only show on earth!
The internet. Which is on earth, but there are other shows. There's like,
well, that's what I meant.
There's stuff on PBS, there's CBS, ABC, NBC.
Never heard of them.
Fox.
Hmm.
They should really call themselves FOX. I mean, you gotta follow the tradition. My name is Kyle.
And I'm Orion.
And today we will entertain you with mundane stories about how I get to work.
Yes.
In this week's episode, I tell you about how the community came to my rescue.
Oh!
How humanity is so loving and so kind that I no longer have to walk to work. Instead, what? I just have to sit in awkward silence in other people's cars.
Oh, no.
So Monday, I walk to work.
All right.
For anybody who doesn't know and who isn't interested, but I'm going to tell you anyway so you can at least follow along.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, my brakes went out on my car and I'm borderline homeless. It broke as shit right now, so I can't fix it. And so I was walking to work, which is it's a 5 mile walk each way. And it was just destroying my body because I'm a very soft man. And so this week I walked to work on Monday, and when I got almost all the way there, somebody picked me up. Somebody from work saw me walking, and they stopped their car. It was weird though, because I was on the left side of the street and they were on the right, and it was like a 4-lane area.
Awkward.
And they were in the far right lane and they stopped and rolled their window down and said, "Hey, you want a ride?" And I could almost see work from where I was, so it didn't really matter that much, but it was still nice of them. But I couldn't, like, what am I going to do? Run across traffic and get in their car? Yeah. So I was like, I don't think this is really a good place for that. And so that they drove up a little bit and pulled over, and I crossed the street and I got in their car, and they drove me the, you know, the 5 seconds to the door.
Yeah.
So that was super nice of them. Then I'm sitting at my desk at work a little bit later, and my boss comes up to me and she's like, "So I hear you're walking to work." And
it's like the big thing at your
work. It's like it's the big
Did
soap
you hear
opera.
About Kyle?
Everybody else is like, they're just living the life. And so they've all got, I'll get to that. So my boss comes up and she says, "I hear you're walking to work. Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah." Well, that guy that I talked about last week, the guy who saw me walking to work, he's like the big boss of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had told me he was going to ask around, see if he could find me a ride. And apparently he did. When I wasn't around, maybe Friday when I called into work, they kind of got together and they worked all this out. They worked out like this underground railroad network for me to get to work. There's a guy there that I don't work directly with in any way, but he's like a leader of a certain department that's been picking me up in the mornings, and he'll drive me to work. That boss lady sometimes drives me home. There's another lady that'll drive me home on other days. So I've been getting rides.
Oh, wow.
And they just all work this out without me. And, you know, I don't dislike any of these people. These people I all like.
Yeah.
I don't interact with them a lot. We're not friends, but I like them all. So that's why I'm okay with accepting these rides. But it is awkward and weird. Like, I'll get in the car in the morning with this guy that I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was going to say a minute ago, is they all have really nice cars. Like my boss, when she drives me home, she's got, and this probably to like a normal person sounds crazy, but to me, it feels like I'm living in Blade Runner. I get in her car and she's got a video screen in the dashboard, you know, with like the GPS and everything. And I'm looking at it and like, she's not even using it, but it's on and it's showing me where we're at and all this stuff. I don't know. It's just weird to me because I'm used to driving like cars from a decade ago or more.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew these things existed, but I'd never seen them in person because I don't know anybody who's affluent like that. But then the guy who picks me up in the morning, he doesn't have a video screen exactly, but he's got like a little LCD screen that's like, it says like check oil soon on
it. Oh, my God.
Like, in plain English, it's telling him what he needs to do with his car. But then we sit there and, you know, like the guy who picks me up in the morning will sometimes try to make small talk. One morning we just drove all the way to work in silence, which was a little weird, but I almost prefer it that way because like today there was an ad for a Pink Floyd concert on the radio
mm-hmm.
and he goes, "I wonder if that's going to be a good show." And I really wanted to respond because I know that's what you're supposed to do. He wasn't saying that for his own benefit. Yeah. You know, it's not like he just does this. Like he's just talking to himself. He was trying to engage me somehow, but I had no idea what to say to that. I give absolutely no shits about Pink Floyd. Yeah. I can't think of anything to say to that. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I thought about asking him if he was a big Pink Floyd fan, but I didn't want to because if he said yes, then he'd be like you, and I'd be like no. You know, like,
drop you right off. Get exactly. the fuck out of my car.
You a big Pink Floyd fan? Yeah, man, I love their Dark Side of the Moon. Oh my god, that album cover with the light and it splits into a rainbow. Oh god, it just blows my balls. And I'm. How, what about you? You like the Floyd? Not really. I don't know. It's okay. Huh. Yeah. So it's just like, it was almost better to me to not start the conversation than to start it only to stop it, put the brakes on it as soon as he tried to engage me.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, but they're super nice. Like those aren't real. I mean, those are kind of complaints, but they're not really complaints.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like... It's bad enough you don't know the guy, but you just kind of woke up, you know, and you don't want to go to work. And then you're riding with this guy you don't know. Yeah.
But he's super nice about it and super friendly. And he doesn't make it awkward. Like he's trying not to make it awkward, you know, when he's bringing up Pink Floyd concerts and stuff.
Well, that's good.
My boss lady, who's driven me home a few times, she's the one with the video screen in the dashboard. I don't think she likes silence.
Yeah, that I was going to say, yeah.
She'll talk the whole way, and that's fine with me. That's not an insult either, but she talks to me about her kids and her family and stuff, and she does this thing where she just says their names and then starts talking about them,
you know,
like I know who they are, I don't.
God.
And like she was talking about one of these kids, and then like just kind of casually at some point was like, and you know, he's adopted, like, or he's a foster kid. Like apparently they foster children or adopt kids or something.
Yeah.
Like, and she says all this stuff, like it's stuff that I know, like I knew he was adopted and I have no idea who he even is. And like, she's talking about her one daughter and how like she's starting to get into cheerleading and how, you know, I wasn't so sure about that because I really don't know. I don't want to raise a bimbo. And I'm afraid like things like that put too much emphasis on looks. And I don't want her to like skate by on her charm or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like somewhere like much further into the conversation, I realize she's talking about an 8-year-old.
Oh,
and I, the whole time I was picturing like a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So it completely changes the story, but I had no idea. And she was talking about it like I did.
People that got to fill dead air. Yeah. Like she's obviously just trying to make conversation, but it might help you engage if you knew what the fuck she was talking about.
Well,
oh, Cody just turned 10. Who's that? Your kid? Your kid? Or your daughter's kid? Like who are you talking about, woman?
Yeah, these people, they love to talk about their families, which again is fine. That's not an insult.
You know,
but
it's not. But
no, it is fine. Oh. But I mean, well, I mean, if I had a wife and a couple of kids, that'd be a big part of my fucking day. Like that'd be a lot of what I have to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they go on and on about how adorable their kids are. They'll just talk about like, this is what happened this morning, you know, or whatever. So it's fine. But they talk about them like I know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason for that is I think the people at my work in general are a lot, you know, people in companies will talk about being a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just a company, we're a family.
We're in this together.
And most of the time, that's complete and utter bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they say it because it makes it sound nicer.
Yeah. You're there 5 days a week. Yeah. You might as well.
And that may be an element to why they say it at my work, but I think it's actually kind of true. I think most of these people really do. Excuse me, know each other really well.
Yeah, like a club. Yeah.
I think they all do know each other's families and stuff. And so I'm there every day. I've been there every day for like 5 years. I think they think, you know, somehow I know this stuff. It doesn't occur to them that I don't, but I don't.
Yeah.
And the part of the reason I think that that's like this family thing is actually true is because today we had, I've talked in the past about how like every year we'll have this weird cookout thing.
Yeah.
Where, we'll go like out in the parking lot and they'll have grills set up and picnic tables. And I think last year I talked about they had this weird raffle,
mm-hmm,
where they had a picnic table just covered in bullshit. Like they had an automatic lowering or raising toilet seat and a couple of like University great. Of Michigan blankets yeah. and like just a bunch of bullshit that I have no interest in. And they were raffling it off.
Goddamn.
And so me and my buddy Brian went back into the building and then people came in later and they were like, where were you guys? They were calling your name. You guys really, there's still some stuff out there. You could go back out there and grab yourself a family edition boggle, you know, or whatever. And I didn't even want any of that stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, oh man,
what do you say?
Poor me. I really missed out. But I think they really love that shit. I don't think it's fake. I think that's them, you know, that's what they're into. And I guess, you know, it's not my thing, but where's the harm really, if that's your thing? But we had one of those today. Normally we would have had it a little bit earlier in the year when we could have had a cookout. Mm-hmm. Today, instead we had this big meeting. And then afterwards we had, they had like pasta and a little bit of pizza delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all ate and then like we got out of work at like 2 or 2:30 or something like that. And they paid us for the rest of the day.
Oh, wow.
Like that's how it works. It is really a nice thing. But
that's
like,
pretty badass if you think about it. Yeah.
Other words, it is.
Don't do that shit.
It is. And I am appreciative of it in the sense that I know it's a nice thing and I like getting out of work early and getting paid for the rest of the day. But it's so not my thing the way they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the meeting... You know, fine, works have meetings. But then, like, it's this get-together. It's this family sort of thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so out of place. Like, we're all just sitting there eating, and everybody's talking about all this stuff. Like, hey, are you coming over to play poker at my poker night this weekend? And, oh, man, you should have heard this thing my girlfriend said. And and I just am sitting there, and just I just want to run.
Yeah.
And at one point, I did, like, I had enough. And I was sitting next to my buddy Brian, who's like the only person at work that I really feel like is kind of my friend. Yeah. Everybody else is, for the most part, fine. There are only a handful of people I don't like. Everybody else I'm pretty much fine with. I just, we're not friends. So I'm sitting next to my buddy Brian and a few other people that I feel close enough to that like I'm not super uncomfortable around them. And I just got up and I was like, oh God, every year I forget how much I hate this shit. And then I realized what I said and they didn't like, you know, look aghast or anything. Yeah. But I went outside and I had a smoke and I pretty much just paced back and forth until it was time to go. That was one thing that was a little odd was because I was ready to leave and I could have left, except I was waiting on my ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a big enough dick to be like, okay, tap, tap, tap on my watch I don't wear. Yeah. Like, what's the hold up? Let's get the fuck out of here. You know, so I just kind of paced back and forth until my ride was ready to go.
Ugh.
And then I had a couple other people offer me rides. They were like, you know, I could give you a ride. I don't know what I don't want to name her name, but the lady was going to give me a ride home. I don't know what she's doing right now, but I could give you a ride, you know, if you want. And I had to keep turning them down because I would have felt like a weird dick to be like, to go in there and find her and be like, sup, bitch, you're taking too long. So I found my own ride, you know?
Yep.
But I mean, yeah. So I feel like when I talk about almost anything, I think I have a way of talking about it that makes it sound negative, even if I don't mean it to. Plus, I think I'm just kind of a negative guy. So I feel like I'm like trash talking all this stuff. But honestly, it really was. It had
super nice.
A lot of really nice things happened this week. People being really nice to me and stuff. And sometimes I forget that that not everyone's an asshole, you know? I guess it's kind of nice, you know? And that's all I really got to say about the walking stuff. I've still been doing a little bit of walking because it's the only way I have to get around when nobody's giving me a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So I've walked down to the gas station to buy more poison and just kill myself.
The people at the gas station will be like, hey, did you walk here? And they'll start talking. Everybody's going to pitch in and get you $1 million.
Jesus, that's the worst. There was a time, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, the worst feeling in the world. And it shouldn't be because it was nice, but I felt like I had misrepresented myself and that's why it felt so terrible. There was a period a while back before we started doing the show when my car was about to get repossessed.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was when I was living by myself. I was about to be evicted from my apartment. Like I'd just gotten so behind on everything that my car was about to be repossessed because I was like a few months behind on my payments and there was nothing I could do about it. And the what do you call them? The repo men showed up at my work because they couldn't find my car because I think it was parked at your place at the time. and I hadn't been driving it. And so I'm at work. The repo guy shows up. I got to go out in the front of the building and talk to this angry old man. And he's like, "Where's your car?" And I told him I didn't know.
I remember that.
I said, "I don't know. I left it with a friend and I don't know where he's got it right now. You know, I don't know where it's at. Come on, level with me. Where's the car?"
He's never heard that.
Yeah, exactly. "Where's the car?" "I don't know, man. I'm not going to tell you because I don't know." "Look, we're going to get this car one way or another. You should just tell me where the damn car is so we can pick it up and just get this over with." And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, why don't you just tell me where the car is?" And I said, because I'm going to keep it. And I said, "I'm going to catch up on these payments. I'm going to keep it." And he said, "No, it's already in progress. I mean, we're already looking for it. You're not going to keep the damn car. So just tell me where the car is." I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'll come back with a policeman and a court order and you'll be forced by law to show me where the car is." And I said, "All right, you do that." And he left. And because the repo man showed up at work,
yep,
people at work found out.
They're all peering out. "Ooh, what's going on with Kyle?"
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, shit, Kyle's car is about to get repossessed." And so somebody was asking me questions,
goddamn,
you know,
Kyle.
And I'm like, yeah. I explained my situation. I'm like, you know, just, I always hate telling the story because it's a kind of a long story, you know, like I was living in a place where I didn't have to pay rent and I was living with my girlfriend. So we were splitting bills and stuff. And so I could afford a lot more at that point. And so I got this car. I tried to get a nicer car because I always had shit cars in the past, mm-hmm, but that meant I was paying on a finance plan. And then we took this trip to Japan. I maxed out a credit card and blah, blah, blah. And then we broke up and I had to move out. And now I'm paying rent. I'm paying car payment. I'm paying full coverage car insurance. I'm paying off this credit card bill. I'm paying this and that and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just too much. I've fallen behind. So I tell this whole fucking sob story and, the human resources lady, she says, "We don't normally do this, but we're going to give you an advance on your paycheck if you want it. We'll give you $500 and then a certain percentage of that will come out of each paycheck till it's paid off." So that was how I eventually got my car payment back on track.
Yep.
I just had to call up the whatever, the bank or whoever the, it's not a bank, whatever, whoever the financing was through,
yeah,
and set that up. So I got that done. And that was fine because that was like a loan, but I paid it back, you know?
Yeah.
So that I didn't have a problem with. The part that I was talking about a minute ago that was the worst feeling in the world was I came into work one day and I went to my desk and there's an envelope, like a greeting card envelope. And I open it up and there's a greeting card inside. I don't remember what it said on it. It was some, you know, generic, sappy thing. Yeah. Like,
insert name here.
You know, "We love you," or, you know.
I didn't know they made those, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And I open it up. And there's a bunch of cash inside.
Oh,
and I don't remember how much it was. It was $100 tops. I'm pretty sure it was less than that. But there was a bunch of cash inside this goddamn envelope. And like, you know, "We love you" from everyone here at blah, 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 where I work, the name of my work.
Mm-hmm.
So what they had done, and I had seen them do this for other causes before, was they had gone around and gotten people to contribute little bits of money to this pool like I'm a fucking charity case. And
yeah,
they came to my desk and set this envelope there. And it was super, super sweet of them. But it was the worst feeling in the world. Because I felt like, you know, like they were looking at me and they were seeing this starving Ethiopian child who just desperately needs that. And I guess I did need the help, but God, it just felt awful. I felt like I'd misrepresented myself. Like I'd, you know, I'm living on the streets, yep, out of a sleeping bag. I'm That's sharing funny. My sleeping bag with a family of rats because, you know, at first I was against it, but then it gets so cold at night, that extra body heat just, oh,
yeah,
fuck it.
I wonder what, like, the reputation is for you at your work. Like,
I have no idea.
"Here's Kyle, the homeless bum.
People must...
Shit just never goes his way. Let's help him out. Come on, guys."
I don't know. People must think I'm just a fucking psychopath at work.
Don't know.
Because, yeah, they must think I'm, like, borderline homeless at all times.
You know people that talk about their kids and stuff. They talk. And if you happen to come up, man, where would that go, you know?
Well, hey, I was...
"You see Kyle is walking to work?" Because that's kind of odd.
Yeah.
And that seems like a topic that would come up in the break room or some shit.
I think that
Kyle's walking to work. "What? What's going on?" "Oh, something about his car breaking down. He's walking to work now." "What the fuck?" And then it just goes on and everybody knows.
Honestly, I think I think they think I'm kind of a dummy, to be perfectly honest. Because from what I gather, people tend to, when somebody doesn't talk a lot, and I don't, I mean, I talk a lot, but I don't talk a lot at work.
Yeah.
When somebody doesn't talk a lot, from what I gather, there are usually one of two reactions. People either think that they're super smart and they're judging the fuck out of you,
yeah,
which isn't necessarily true. Well, neither one of these is necessarily true. Or they think, you know, you're kind of slow and shy and whatever. So I think that they think I'm kind of a dummy because I sometimes get treated like kind of a dummy,
mm-hmm.
not in a mean way, like, you know, like let's help this poor little dummy.
Yeah.
Like today I was, I do a little bit of work with Adobe Illustrator at work. And there's this other guy that works in my department that does sort of similar things to what I do, but with more of an engineering bent. He does things that are more involved with like how things are built.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this thing I needed, like we have these patterns we like print onto things, and I needed to know if we had, if we had any swatches,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, in Illustrator, you can have custom swatches of colors and patterns and stuff. I needed to know if he had any swatches of these because I had access to the patterns, but they didn't tile right. So if he had an already made up version of this that could tile, I'm making it, it's hard to explain, but basically it's a pretty simple thing in Illustrator. And he starts explaining to me like how swatches work.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
He comes over and like does it all for me on my computer. And there was a general, he was being really nice about it, but there was a general way about like the way he handled the situation that made it sound to me like he thought poor Kyle doesn't know what he's doing in Illustrator and he really needs my help. So, and then like afterwards he said something like, I'm forgetting how much you're having to work with Illustrator these days. Like it sounded like
you
he was saying like,
stupid man. Yeah,
man, we've really thrown you to the wolves here, you know, making Jesus. You work with Illustrator. Jeez. So I think that's what people think of me. I think they think I'm a little bit slow. I think they think I'm a little bit of a dummy. You know, like my car breaks down and I start walking 5 miles to work and I say nothing to anybody. You know, I think they think I'm just this weird little, like it didn't even occur to me to
Poor
say anything
thing
to anybody.
Didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I'm a little lost puppy, I think.
Jesus.
And, you know, that's fine, whatever. But and I think that's a lot of that's my fault. But the part of the reason I don't talk more at work is because, I mean, listen to the way I talk, you know, like a lot of these people are just good, wholesome Christian young men and women.
Family oriented.
Yeah. They all have kids. They all, like a lot of them have grandkids and they, I don't know, they all dress business casual, even if they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just don't think that I could have an extended relationship with these people.
Mm-mm.
Because I think given enough exposure to me, they might kind of hate me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, fine. If you need to, you know, if I need to give the impression that I'm a bit of a slowpoke in the head.
I fantasized about, like, if I ever transferred to a different store, how would I, you know, be myself? I always fantasized about, like, my people's first impression of me is he's really slow in the head.
Yeah.
And I could get away with it. Like, I wouldn't have to work as hard, but that's okay. Orion's a little slow. Just go easy on him. We're all he's gonna do is like go around and say hi to people today. Okay?
Right? Yeah. There is a not really with what I do, but there is a potential for that to be an advantage. Yeah, where people.
Oh yeah.
You know, if everybody thinks you're not very capable, they're not gonna expect much out of you.
Because I see it. I see it with people. We get new hires in that suck at their job. And they just know they pull them into the office, they talk to them, they threaten to write them up, and they still don't get it. So they're like, oh, they must be, I don't know, slow. They treat them better than they do me.
Well, there's also a
they
certain.
They give them really, like every time I come in, we have a work assignment list, like what are you going to be doing today? And some of these people, like I'll get the hardest fucking job ever, every day. And I'm okay with that, I guess, to an extent. But these people get see me, like see the boss. And it's always like stupid, silly shit. Yeah, like go say hi to some people and see if they need help. Okay, you little poor thing. Oh, you're so slow.
There is also, though, an element of the workplace that I've noticed in almost every job I've had, but especially at the job you have, like when I worked where you work.
Yeah.
there's this element where certain people, and I don't know how they pull it off. I don't know how they do it, because there has to be a point where people don't know you as that, but they get a reputation mm-hmm. for being a certain way. Mm-hmm. And like they come, like this person comes in late every day. Mm-hmm. And that's just who they are.
Yep.
So they never, ever get in trouble for it. There are certain people who just,
away with it. Yeah.
Who just get like that. Like, oh, this guy, he's like, he's supposed to be stocking shelves out in the grocery aisles, but he's never out there.
Yep.
Well, that's just who he is. That's, he's never been out there. So
he's a war vet. He's always got stories and they're kind of interesting. So it's okay. You know, he just tells those stories.
It's not even that though. Yeah. It's like they just somehow, you know, this is who this person is. We understand yep. that. So we don't yell at him for yep. it. But I don't understand how that, how they get to that place. There's some, because, you know, the first day, the first week, the first month, they don't know you yet.
Yep.
They're getting to know you. And you would think if that's who you are and that's how you've always been, that that would have gotten you fired yep. in the beginning. Oh, so yeah. I don't know how they do it, but somehow there are certain people who just, oh, that guy, he never tucks his shirt in. Yep. It's policy that we all have to tuck our shirt in, but that guy never, he just never has. So who
yep.
cares?
Yep. And he gets away with it. But then the day comes, you know, your shirt's untucked and they're like, Kyle, dude, tuck your shirt in. Come on. I don't want to write you up.
Yeah. And you could almost be standing right next to that guy
yeah.
and they won't say anything to him.
Well, Larry's shirt isn't tucked in. Well, the, you know,
yeah, but
it's Larry.
He's
come
Larry.
On.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fucking
that's
bullshit.
Just Larry. We all know what Larry's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they get away with it. But yes, I mean, that's my week. You know,
I'm glad to hear that because, goddamn, I was thinking about options, though your option that you had was the best that I could come up with.
Uh-huh.
It really was. Like, it's the dumbest in some people's eyes. Like, let the car get repossessed so you can save up more money. What the fuck? You've come this far paying for that car. But if you think about it, like, these are people that are like, I don't know what... They're the type of people that have mortgages, you know?
Yeah.
They don't rent. Fuck renting. Fuck leasing. I want to own my property so I can sell it later.
Yeah.
You know, they invest.
Well,
and that's how they see it.
I think it's really easy for people to forget things. Like, and myself included, but yeah. I think it's really easy for people to forget things. Like, I think if you are in your 40s, and you have had money for a while, you've worked your way up the corporate ladder wherever you're at, you know, you've been there for a long time, you make a decent amount of money, you have a nice car, you have a house, you have a wife, you have kids, and you have money now.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to forget what it was like when you didn't have money.
Yeah.
And you know, all kinds of things are like that. Like, it's easy for an adult to forget how bad high school was
yeah.
and just remember the good things and be like, man, to be 17 again.
Mm-hmm.
Being 17 kind of sucked balls. Yeah. I mean, there were good things about it, sure, but it wasn't a fucking paradise.
Yeah.
It was kind of awful. And I think it's real easy for people to forget that kind of shit. And I think that there are people who, you know, have money and stuff and they hear like, oh, my car, I'm going to let my car get repossessed because I can't afford to repair it. And it's like the can't afford to repair it part just flies in one ear and out the other. And mm-hmm. they're just like, that doesn't make any sense. Just
yeah.
save up some money and repair the car and keep paying, like pay it off, get it. Well, you don't understand. There's no money for that to happen.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to continue paying for this car, there are two things I can do. I can either pay to have it repaired so it's drivable and not pay the car payment and get it repossessed anyway,
mm-hmm.
or I can keep paying the car payment and not be able to drive it.
Yeah.
So neither
exactly.
one is really a good option. I think personally that I'm better off just letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, because I still don't know exactly how it works, I should look into it, but maybe I'll get a bill later on for all or part of whatever I owe, but at least it'll put it off for a little while, give me some time to get something else.
Yeah. It's survival mode. And some people, that's an inconceivable. Like, it's almost like some people, because they have money all the time, it's like they're like characters in the movie when they're like, they're a dad and their kid, their teenage daughter gets their credit card and buys like three cars and they're like, oh, you're grounded. Like,
yeah,
they had
yeah.
that, you know, or not a credit card, but like their fucking ATM debit card. You
yeah.
know, they had this money. And people have talked to me before, like, I just have $500
yeah.
plus just sitting in the bank.
Exactly.
Like, what do you mean you don't have any money?
I think there are people who probably are honestly way better at managing their money than either of us.
Yeah.
But still, I think that they assume that everyone has, you know, like $2,000 in the bank for a rainy day.
Yep.
And I fucking don't. I almost never have. And not everybody does. And I also think that, oh God, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Never mind. I'll think of it later.
Yeah.
Well, now I kind of have to think of it because I just completely stalled the conversation, put the brakes on it. Oh, I remember what I was going to say now. It's not directly related, but it reminds me of the kind of people who will say things. I see this on Reddit of all places all the time. Somebody will post something about, you know, I'm in all kinds of debt or whatever. I hate my job. I hate my job is a big aspect of it. That's what sets these people off.
Yeah.
I hate my job. What do I do, Reddit? And then some asshole, and there are usually like four or five of these assholes in the same thread, will come in and be like, you got to understand that you are in control of your own life. All these decisions are yours to make. If you hate your job, quit that fucking job. If you hate the town you live in, move out of that town. If you hate the car you drive, get another car. Well, it's not that fucking easy for everybody. Like, your life may not have no strings attached to anything. Maybe you are free and clear and you can quit your job and pack up your bindle stiff and go out hitchhiking across the country because you're a free spirit and you have no ties to anything. But if I was like, oh, I hate my job and I hate my life, well, just travel the country, go overseas, hop a ship to Europe and hitchhike across France.
I'm going to go live in Europe.
I can't fucking do that. Yeah. I haven't. Even if you are like this crazy free spirit, that still takes money.
Yeah.
Like, you still would have to take like a month or something to save up enough just to get overseas. And then maybe you can hitchhike across the country, you know, and depend on the kindness of strangers or whatever with your like weird hipster indie charm. You know, oh, everybody loves him because he's an indie darling. He's so mysterious and quirky. And he look at him with his fucking flannel shirt. Oh, I'll just let him sleep on my couch because I'm a crazy French hipster.
Yeah.
But not everybody can do that. You know, I've got all this fucking ridiculous debt. I can't just start a new life because I want to, not without like going illegal and getting like fake IDs and shit and starting a completely new life.
Yeah.
I mean, I could run away to like California and start a new life as like Jorge Garcia and pretend that I'm one of them redheaded Mexicans. But you can't, you know, and people say this shit because they think everybody's situation is just like theirs. If I can do it, you can do it.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen this asshole on Reddit. He shows up in multiple threads. It's the same asshole. And he'll talk about how he started his own business. I started my own business from the ground up because I didn't like working for other people. And I forget what it even was. I think it was like some kind of software thing, or maybe he was doing like motivational lectures, or I don't remember. Whatever it was, like, I've heard podcasters say, you know, it's not like I've heard podcasters who, there are a handful of them out there who make livings off of their podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I've heard them say, you know, you don't have to work for other people. Just start something for yourself.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. Just, hey, I did it. I didn't have money. I saved up and I bought the equipment and I bought a website. And I just fucking put this shit out there and look at me. I did it all by myself. Well, not everybody has the talent that you have. Not everybody has the gift of gab. Or if you're like a really famous and well-regarded graphic artist, not everybody can draw like you. If you're a really famous musician, not everybody can make music. Like, not everybody can do everything. Just because you could do it doesn't mean anybody could.
Yeah.
I suppose that's kind of a good attitude to have in a weird way because it's humble, you know, like if I could do it, anybody could do it. But it's not true. It's not literally true.
Absolutely not.
I did it, so anybody can.
The fucking risk involved, Jesus Christ. It's like they never mention that, the risk. Well, it's pretty risky. Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's another thing. Just because it worked out for you doesn't mean it would work out for everybody.
Fucking luck is what it is.
A lot of it's luck. A lot of it's just like you were in the right place at the right time. Like, a lot of these, the handful of podcasts I can think of that do make livings off their podcasts, they're either people who are already famous for something else, so they already had a built-in audience, or they're people who got started right around the beginning of podcasting when podcasting was a big fucking deal. It was new. There were all these websites about it. Everybody was getting into it. It was a huge thing. Now it's kind of faded into the background. It's just stuff that people like me listen to get through their work day or whatever.
Yeah.
It's there used to be expos, conventions that people would go to, podcasters would gather. It was a huge fucking movement. And now it's not. It's just a thing that happens. So like getting started, like when we did, if you and I started this show in 2004, it would be way bigger than it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it still might not be as big as those other shows because it probably isn't as good as those other shows, but it would be way bigger than it is just because we would have been there. We would have gotten in on the ground floor when everybody was desperately searching for podcasts to listen to because there weren't that many out there. So, you know, you have to be in the right place at the right time. You have to know the right people. A lot of it's just luck.
Mm-hmm. God, I don't know why this reminds me, like when I'm driving down the road and I see this business and I'm like, how the fuck does this business stay in business? It's like Mattress World, but it looks shady.
Yeah.
But it stays in business. And I get to thinking about this when, I was like a teenager and there was this shithole business that sold electronics and it looked shady. They had commercials on the TV, like local really shitty commercials. The guy looked like an asshole, you know, gold chain, slick back hair. Hey, you know, I'm so-and-so. And you think, how does that stay in business? There's no way. You look at all the cars driving by, 99% of them have a place to go and they got to get there, you know, at some point. Who the fuck's pulling in? Like, I just picture them working and nobody's coming in.
Yeah, I've wondered
that
too.
Day after day. But with this one guy that would advertise and you'd think nobody's gonna fucking shop there ever. Look at this place. People driving by. This motherfucker happened to be friends with my aunt's friend and my aunt was invited to his place. He's got a gigantic mansion, indoor, outdoor pool. How the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've wondered that too, man. There's this specifically, there's like a camera shop and I don't even know if it's still there, but there's this camera store kind of nearby that I would see. It was near where I worked at the GameStop and I would see this place and I would wonder, like, I'm sure, you know, there are people in town who are photographers who need a camera store around.
Yeah.
But are there really enough of them that you get more than five people in your store every day?
God,
you know, like, what are you doing all day? How are you able to stay open all the time? I can't imagine. But apparently, you know, there must be enough business.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of businesses like that. Like, yeah, are there days where you open up and you just stand there behind the counter and literally no one comes in? It wouldn't surprise me that much, especially the more niche your business is, like a camera store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vast majority of people would just go to Best Buy or whatever and pick up a digital camera. They don't give a fuck about, you know, all the, you can get a tripod there. They don't give a fuck about these, like, you know, more specific photography things. And how many professional photographers can there really be in town?
Yeah. If like, I always picture like if everything just kind of stopped and everybody got out of the buildings and we all collectively formed in this, on this block in the city and we'd take polls like, how many are of you are photographers? And you see like two, three hands.
Yeah.
How the fuck is this business making it? You know? God damn.
And this camera shop, I have to imagine at least, because this is probably the way it is for all businesses, at least 50% of the people who go in there probably don't buy anything.
Yeah.
They you know, they go in, they wander around, they look at all the lenses and bullshit, and then they walk right back out the door. I mean, half the time when I go into a place, that's what I do. I just go in and look around and then I leave.
Yeah. There's a new business, the Family Christian Bookstore.
Oh boy.
Just opened up, you know, a little dinky thing. It's ridiculously packed all hours of the day, every day. Packed. Like there's 40 plus cars surrounding this building.
Yeah.
What kind of material is there in there that's so, like, just tons of Bibles?
Yeah. I always wonder, about
Christian. I gotta go get me another one.
Christian bookstores are such a weird thing. Like, if you're a Christian, like, don't you really only need the one book? Like, what do you do? I do imagine, like, just a wall just covered in Bibles and then, like, a cash register. And that's all it is.
What are these people doing?
Oh, you know, I can never have too many Bibles. I like to hide them around the house, put one under my mattress, put one behind the toaster. I got a little one, like a pocket-sized one I stick in the cookie jar, just in case I ever need to just check a verse and I'm in the middle of, you know, making spaghetti or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of Christian books.
Yeah.
But what could they possibly be about? Like,
no.
I decided to write this book because I wanted to let everybody know that Jesus is pretty good.
Yep.
The end.
That's got to be it.
What could
That's
be in this
it.
Book?
Aside from like children's books that maybe simplify some of the lessons
they're
taught.
Like, yeah, children's Bibles with illustrations and stuff with simpler language. But
then it'd be like a children's bookstore.
Maybe a Bible in Spanish. How many different things could there be?
The Bible for dummies? Like, I don't know. There's only so many variations where you take a step back and you're like, I could buy this or I could just buy the fucking Bible. I mean, what kind of sellout am I? Fake ass nigga shit.
How to beat your wife and stay true to Jesus. 101 Bible loopholes.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. God. I don't know what could be lining all these shelves. And it must be good, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Not good, but, you know, it must be something beyond the Bible for these people to be lining up. I'm sure they're not all just walking out with Bibles. Mm-hmm. And you can get Bibles for free. Like, I have two, and I don't even give a shit.
I had one, and I stole it from the church, yeah.
Free! One of the Bibles I have, I stole from a hotel.
Yeah.
That's a weird fucking thing. I guess these, I don't know, who are the Gideons? Do you know who the Gideons are?
I don't. No.
All I know is that Gideon is a faggot thing to name your kid. But the Gideons, I guess, are like, I picture people in robes with hoods, cloaks, like dressed as weird.
We're the Gideons.
Weird evil monks. And you can't see their face. It's not covered or anything. It's just dark.
Yeah,
you just
can't see their shadow. Face. You can't see their eyes.
And they come in and they have a big thick rope tied around as a belt.
Yep.
And they come into a hotel. And they like do that, like, you know, cross thing like Catholics do over their chest. Yeah. And then the person behind the counter, like the receptionist at the hotel, just nods and they go up with just a burlap sack full of Bibles and they go room to room, just shoving them in drawers. And then they leave. And yeah, so I don't know how that works, but somehow the Gideons end up shoving Bibles into every room in every hotel in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stole one. I figured that's why it's there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to take it, right? Am I supposed to leave it there for the next guy? I don't know. I assumed it was like the mint on the pillow. Like, that's for me.
Yeah. I've never heard of anyone getting charged for it that took one.
I don't think it's hotel property. I think like these, the way I understand it, these Gideons, whoever the fuck they are, they just go into the hotel and leave Bibles. And there's like this sort of wink and a nod agreement between them and every hotel in the nation that this is okay.
That's just crazy. Yeah.
So I took it. And then like a month ago or something, I started carving a big hole in the middle so I could hide things in it. I never finished because it was a pain in the ass, but someday I will, and I will hide.
Yeah. What are you going to hide?
I don't know. Gummy bears in there. Just red gummy bears.
Yeah.
Only red. I don't know.
You better hide them. Yeah. Those are my favorite.
These are the holy gummy bears.
Yeah.
They were made with holy water. And holy horse hooves.
Corn syrup.
Holy corn syrup.
Yeah.
You want to take a break?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Break!
Now, I'm sure that most of you have used a dial telephone before.
So what are you waiting for, retard?
Hey, I am not retarded.
Get involved. Speak your mind. We do.
If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kid you, you understand?
Call 616-328-5581.
All right, I'm going to do it.
We are back,
we're back,
y'all. And I got some more random babbling to do about my personal life.
Let's do it.
This past week, a person from my work that I don't know really well decided to friend me on Facebook.
Oh, man. I got to cross that off my list. I was going to ask you
about that.
Was
on your list?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I think, I told you about it, but I didn't talk about it on the show. Usually when people from work try to friend me on Facebook, because it has happened in the past, I just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want them to friend me on Facebook because I I feel like I live this dual life.
Yeah.
Like, more and more, I'm feeling like I'm living this dual life and that I got to keep them separate or I'm going to lose my fucking job.
Yeah. Kyle the dummy and the real Kyle.
Yeah. The real Kyle who says nigger whenever he feels like it. So this girl that works upstairs in the customer service department, I barely know her at all. Like, we email back and forth sometimes about work-related shit, and occasionally there will be, like, she seems nice and she seems somewhat relatable, because occasionally there will be some kind of cornball but, you know, humor about the workplace that goes on between us. I can't think of any good examples. You know, like, oh, thank God it's Friday kind of stuff. Know, not quite that bad, but
okay. So she added you.
So she added me, and at first I was like, my first instinct was to just ignore it, but then I realized she also messaged me, which almost never happens to me. That seems like the best thing to do when you're going to friend somebody is like to send them a message. So like it gives that message to them that it's like, I'm not just friending you to up my friend count, you know, like, hey, I want to connect. So she sent me this message. It was like, oh my God, I didn't know you like Minecraft, which is a little weird because like, Minecraft is in one of my interests. It's like one of my likes on Facebook. So, I mean, it's not creepy like she Facebook stalked me. It's just a little funny that like before she clicked that friend button, she did go through my info and like look at my interests and stuff. So apparently she cared a little bit, you know. Anyway, so I got that message. That made me feel like I'd be even more of a dick to just ignore it.
Yeah.
Because clearly she's trying to communicate with me. And I noticed that she's already friends with somebody I know that has nothing to do with work. She's friends with a person, you know her. She's friends with a person named Kat.
Yes, yes.
And I was curious, like, how...
Small world.
I was like, well, if she's friends with Kat, she can't be all bad. And,
yeah.
And, like, there's Kat's this awesome. Sort of feeling that, like, I almost... Like, it's almost even a bigger dick move. Like, I'm friends with this other friend of yours, and but fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I friended her, and then we talked back and forth about Minecraft a little bit, and she was talking about how she always plays multiplayer and how we should get together and put together a server sometime, and, like, we should play Minecraft. And, you know, nothing eventful came out of that, but I did go through her info, and she has Christian right in there as her religion, and then she has, like...
Man.
You know, there's a spot where you can like put people you're inspired by, and one of hers is Jesus.
Of course.
And you know, if you're looking at my information, there is like my podcast website right in there. And I don't know if she's checked this show out. I kind of hope she hasn't. If she's checking it out right now, hey, how's it going? Disregard that part where I said nigger earlier. I'm not a racist. I just think nigger's a hilarious word. And it's even more hilarious because I'm not allowed to say it.
Yeah,
I mean, if you told me I couldn't say mashed potatoes, I'd be saying mashed potatoes all the time.
You know it.
But anyway, so nothing really eventful happened about because of that. But I feel like my life is turning into like this Lifetime original movie, kind of thing where like I'm living this double life and nobody knows about it. But like the movie starts out with like this nice rich white lady helping out this underprivileged kid from the streets, like trying to, you know, he's lived a rough life. He's got all this credit card debt and he wears a leather jacket. He's a hard badass and he doesn't know how to love. So we all coordinate. The community comes together it takes a village to raise a 28-year-old man. So, you know, there's all this feel good stuff. They break down my shell. I become, you know, maybe they'll all become a part of my life and we'll all love each other and I'll start bringing casseroles to the potlucks. But then one day in like the third act or whatever, when we get to the conflict, which is where they find my podcast and find out that I'm like in their minds, I'm like a neo-Nazi KKK member and I hate children and I want to murder them. And and then it becomes this big drama and I have to redeem myself.
Yep.
I feel like that's the way my life is about to play out. And this is going to be the catalyst. This one unassuming person from work who just tried to friend me on Facebook one day is just going to explode my life.
It's going to ruin everything.
Yep.
God damn. What's also funny is, she's big into Jesus, but aren't you like under religious views on Facebook?
It definitely says atheist.
Yeah. Usually that scares people away, you know?
Well, maybe she doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Maybe.
I mean, I assume she saw it if she saw that I made a Minecraft. So maybe she just doesn't give a fuck. And that's a thing I'm conflicted on. I've definitely mentioned this before. Yeah. Like, if I feel like on the one hand, the least obviously offensive Christians and religious people are the ones who just keep it to them fucking selves, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't know mm-hmm. because they don't talk about it. But on the other hand, those ones seem like the, in a weird way, the biggest douchebags, because like if you believe all this like stuff, all these universal truths that I am unaware of, like even if it's not a heaven and hell thing, but especially if it's a heaven and hell thing, mm-hmm. and like I'm going to go to hell, then you should kind of speak up, you know, like
it's a job to I don't save.
I don't want you to, because yeah. I don't need that bullshit in my life, yeah. but that would be the responsible thing to do if that's what you believe. So I'm conflicted, but you know, whatever. Eh, it's a work
thing. They need to recruit the soldiers.
Yeah.
To fight the war against Satan.
Well, this this is definitely getting off on a tangent, yeah, yeah. but that's another thing. Like I talk about Reddit every once in a while, and Reddit just Reddit, the way the site works, reddit.com, is it's divided into subreddits. So mm-hmm. it'll be like Reddit slash and then something, yeah. which is like the topic, and people can make new subreddits and stuff. And one of the subreddits is atheism. Mm-hmm. And in the past, like if you just go to reddit.com, you're not logged in or anything. There's a front page that has posts from a selected few popular subreddits mm-hmm. that all show up on the front page, and you can make an account, you can customize your front page, subscribe and unsubscribe from different things. But in the past, atheism was not one of the ones that was on the default front page, mm-hmm. but now it is. And so I'm seeing all of these crazy arguments between Christians and atheists,
Jesus.
And atheists who are like, the big thing I keep seeing is people bitching about atheism being all over their front page. I don't want to hear all this bullshit. I don't want to see these screen captures of Facebook posts where you're being a dick to your Christian friends. And then like some, there'll be like a comment thread and all these atheists will be like, yeah, I hate these hardcore atheists too. I'm an atheist myself, but I don't go around being a dick and telling everybody about it and telling everybody how stupid they are. And I think that's a really crazy position to be like, yeah, I'm an atheist, but fuck it. People can believe what they want. You know, I mean, yes, you can believe what you want, but God, like you, would you feel that way if what they believe?
I think I know where you're going.
Was Kyle. Blatantly, obviously crazy. Like we,
it's like I hear this a lot from the religious. They that equal spectrum, this spectrum where, hey, you respect me, I respect you.
Yeah,
but I think we both kind of got into this. Like it's not like that. It's more of a like a case by case basis type thing, in which like there is no spectrum. There's you, an atheist who doesn't believe in crazy. And then there's crazy.
Right. They want to treat it like, you know, Coke versus Pepsi. Like, oh, yeah. I love yeah. Coke yeah. and you love Pepsi. Well, let's not be at each other's throats yeah. about it. It's yeah. subjective. I mean,
yeah.
neither one of us is actually wrong. Let's just respect each other's opinions. But it's not that's not what it is. Like what it actually is it's like you saying, fucking electricity isn't real.
Yeah.
and me just looking at you like you're a fucking moron. Like yeah. I can't do anything else. I yeah. can't be like, well, that's your opinion.
We all have
live.
Opinions. Yeah. Live and let live. Yeah.
And another thing
that no,
I yeah. see all the time is people being like, well, you know, we're not all monsters. Like we're not all the Westboro Baptist Church standing outside of a gay kid's funeral or a soldier's funeral and saying God hates fags. And this is because you are a horrible, perverted nation, you know, like doing all this horrible shit. We didn't participate in the Crusades or anything. Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to like make a hierarchy, like if you yeah. want to make a list of a top 10 list of Christians to take out in order,
yeah.
then yeah, like the really bad ones would be at the top. But if I'm having a Facebook conversation with someone where they post something ridiculous about how like, you know, God cured my cancer or something, and I'm trying to point out that like, if you're going to thank anybody, thank the fucking doctors yeah, and the scientists who came up with this shit in the first place. It's not God that cured your fucking cancer. But that doesn't have anything to do with the Westboro Baptist Church. Like when exactly. I saw that and I got a little bit agitated, I should have gone to the Westboro Baptist Church like and started firebombing them or something yeah. instead, because that's way more important. Mm-hmm. It's just nonsense. It's silly. But I don't know. That was a big tangent.
Yeah.
Whatever. Another thing that I've been doing this week, because when I started walking, I started having to get up really early mm-hmm. compared to when I used to get up, which was difficult. So I've been making myself go to bed early, and then to kind of get myself in a better mood.
Yeah.
I started watching cartoons in the morning because I'm trying to kind of like, I remember when I was a kid and I would get up for school, and there would be just enough time to catch a cartoon in the morning before school.
Yeah.
And it would be the best, you know? Sit down with a nice bowl of Lucky Charms and fucking watch the Ninja Turtles. So I don't have to get up quite as early now that I'm getting rides, but I still have to get up kind of earlier than I used to because I get picked up a little bit earlier than I would leave. And the guy who's picking me up doesn't show up at a set time because he's on like salary at work or whatever. So he can kind of go in whenever he wants within reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he has family things going on that make it complicated. So I have to be, you know, watching out for him.
Yeah.
So I'm up a little bit early and I downloaded a bunch of the old Mario Brothers cartoons.
Oh God.
And the entire first 9 seasons of the Ninja Turtles cartoon, the old one.
Oh man.
And so in the mornings I've been watching these episodes and it's weird because I knew that these were not like the pinnacle of human achievement.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that they weren't good, that they weren't great. But it's weird looking back, especially on the Mario Brothers cartoons, at just how bad they actually were.
Yeah.
Like, I still get a little bit of enjoyment out of them in like a nostalgia sort of way. Like, it still reminds me of the good times when I was a kid and stuff. But they're pretty bad. The animation is bad. Like, things will be the wrong color for a scene.
Yeah.
Or the wrong voice will come out of the wrong character. Like, I don't know how you fuck that up.
Yeah.
It's a little more understandable in the Ninja Turtles when like Donatello starts talking and it's Raphael's voice or something, because the people animating it probably were just like, I don't fucking know. They're all the same with different colored masks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. I'll just draw the purple one this time.
Yep.
But yeah, it's not good.
But even looking at like the shows and the story, it's kind of silly.
Well, yeah. Like the.
'Cause back then you're like, I don't care. It's Ninja Turtles. I'm watching. Yeah. Because you love them. Or Mario Brothers. Like, I love Mario Brothers, so I'll watch this show. But
when, like, Bugs Bunny cartoons, which I've said before, I don't like. Yeah. I think that they are like a... It's like a mass hysteria thing where everybody has hallucinated that these were good cartoons because they just have been told so. But Bugs Bunny would do things like pull a hammer out of nothing. And people have actually come up with a term for that. They call it hammer space, which is like the mythical space where these objects exist when a cartoon character just pulls something out of thin air. But anyway, so Bugs Bunny would pull a hammer out of nothing and then like bash somebody over the head, and then the hammer would disappear again. And that wouldn't be a big deal because it's fucking Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
And who cares? It was for the joke, whatever. But like in the Mario Brothers cartoons, there's more of a story. It's more like an episode of a TV show. It's not just all gag after gag after gag. And they will still do things where there's just no fucking explanation whatsoever. Like I was watching an episode and they made a sarcophagus. There was a mummy in a sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
They made the sarcophagus into a steam-powered go-kart.
Nice.
And there was like... All it was like Luigi disappeared off the side of the screen and like a bunch of like a cloud of smoke, like he was doing something.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden there it is. But there was nothing in the room to make that out of. And, you know, I don't know. I know it sounds absurd for me to be like
overanalyze a cartoon.
Not believable.
Yeah.
But other things like it just shit will happen like for seemingly no reason. But it's like the people writing it were like, fuck it. They're kids.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's weird. But one thing I do like about the old Mario Brothers cartoons that they did is that they would use sound effects from the games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they, whenever the characters run, I've been watching the Mario 3 version. I don't know if you know. I didn't know exactly how it broke down. There was the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, which was the one with Captain Lou Albano, where they had the live action scenes in between.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like the Legend of Zelda cartoons sometimes. Then there was The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3, which was a different series.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically the same thing, but Mario 3 elements. They had like the Doom ship and, you know, Raccoon Tails and shit like that. And then there was Super Mario World. There was a cartoon for Super Mario World where they introduced Yoshi and stuff. And they were all basically a continuation of the same thing, but they were separate series.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching the Super Mario Brothers 3 one.
Sweet.
What was I just... Oh, like every time they run, it makes that sound like when your pee meter fills up.
Yep.
That little... like when you're about to fly. And then when they stop, it makes that little sound effect. That's kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is that helping with getting up? Like, ooh, I got to watch that next episode.
Not as much as I had hoped.
Yeah.
No.
Because it was such a motivator if he had cereal when you were a kid.
Even
I got cereal and there's a cartoon coming. I'm getting up.
even when I was an older kid, like when I probably shouldn't have been watching the things I was watching, there was a period where I would get up and I would watch Power Rangers before school. And it was, that was a weird period. I know we've talked about this before, but like when the Power Rangers were really big, it was a weird period for me at least, because everybody like was kind of like, yeah, we're all too old for this, but we were all secretly watching.
Yeah, we were.
Fuck that Power Rangers shit. That's for babies, but the Green Ranger is my favorite.
Yeah. You
know, that's what it was. But yeah, so I was watching Power Rangers, and then a little bit later, do you ever see the Mega Man cartoon?
Yeah.
Wasn't very good, but I would watch that. It was like in syndication or whatever, and it was on, I don't know what it was, like UPN or the WB or something early in the morning, and I would watch that before I'd go to school. And there's just a nice feeling about watching cartoons before you got to go do something shitty.
Yeah.
I think people should do that before they go to get surgeries. Like right before they send somebody off to war, they should sit them down and have them watch cartoons. But yeah, so that's, I mean, that's what I have to say about cartoons.
Cause
it's good times.
Yeah. Getting up earlier. You don't want that guy to wait. That's driving you to work.
Yeah.
And come winter, cause we're there and it's already snowed once, kind of, I just can't see myself in your position, like getting up with any motivation at all. That guy's coming. You know what? I'm just not going to go out there.
Yeah.
He can honk. Oh, I don't want to go to work.
Yeah. It was hard enough. It was hard enough when, you know, I had a car and stuff. Just, I guess I'm just a pussy, but you know, the fact that I have to go and do bullshit all day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate that as jobs go, I've got a pretty decent one. The people at work are pretty nice. I don't live in Africa.
Yep.
All that shit. I appreciate it, but it still sucks. Like I have to go and devote 8 hours of my day to shit I don't care about.
Yep.
And that's true for most people. And it kind of sucks for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. You want to do some voicemails or not voicemails, cause we don't have any this week. Tut tut, you guys. But, you want to do some Facebooks and Twitters?
Yes.
Okay. Let us see. You want to do Facebooks or Twitters first?
Let's do Twitters.
Okay. One thing I wanted to mention is that last week I mentioned, that it would be nice if more people would like tweet things about the show or, you know, promote the stuff to their friends, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get more of that this week than we ever usually get. So I appreciate that. People were apparently listening. Either that or they just thought, oh, this is the first episode in a while that I've been like not embarrassed to tell my friends about.
Yeah.
Either way, I appreciate it. But then today when I asked for questions and stuff, Sean Ryan of Method to Mothballs podcast said, if you went back in time to meet your teenage self, what news from the future would you use to shock, horrify, or amaze past you?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I might tell myself about 9/11 so I could get some jokes ready.
Oh, God.
Because not, I will occasionally tell 9/11 jokes now, but I feel like such a hack doing it. You know, it's too far gone. Too many people are okay with those jokes now. It loses some of its punch. Yeah. If I had been telling 9/11 jokes on like 9/12, I would have been, you know, like a, I would have been ahead of the game.
Jesus.
So I do that. What about you?
Oh, Jesus Christ. All I can think of, aside from like explaining the whole cell phone explosion, you know, like there's apps. I know that doesn't make sense, but there's apps, you know, you can just fucking get this app and it does this little thing and it's so helpful. It's fucking crazy. I'd be like, hey, listen, young me, I know you hate Pizza Hut. Fucking hate Pizza Hut. They suck. Every time you go there, you're waiting 45 minutes. And for what? You're the only one sitting down. What the fuck? It's so good, but it's not worth the wait. Well, guess what? In the future, you can order online, man, on the internet, and it's like $10 a pizza. And the young me would be like, what the fuck? That's awesome.
Eyes as big as saucers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I might tell myself about podcasting.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fucking get a mixer.
Right now.
You have nothing going on.
Go ask mom.
You have nothing going on. You live with your mother. And let me tell you, in a few years, like when you think you're going to have shit figured out, you won't. You'll be living with your mom and dating some bitch. So just get yourself a mixer, get yourself a microphone, get your shit sorted out.
Yep.
Start a podcast. Be the first. Start one in 2001. So I do that. But I'm trying to think of things that would shock, horrify, or amaze me. Because none of that would shock, horrify, or amaze me.
God,
I don't think I'm very shockable, horrifiable, or amazable.
I think the the biggest, like, oh, really? Would be maybe explaining all the wireless crap we have these days.
I don't know if I'd find it so, like, unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, I think even when I was a teenager, I mean, cell phones were already on the scene. I didn't have one, but I knew about them, and they were already becoming pretty commonplace.
Yeah.
There were kids at school that had them. Not a lot of kids at school.
Oh, you know what? Wireless internet. That kind of blew my mind when it, like, you just, I went outside with a laptop not plugged in and I'm on the fucking internet. I don't know. That,
I think that was around. I mean, he's talking about when we were teenagers. I think that was around. It just wasn't very big.
Yeah, it wasn't big.
I don't know.
Fuck.
Shock, horrifier, amaze. Like, I'm trying to think of things that other, everything I'm thinking of are things that other people might have found shocking or whatever, but I wouldn't, like, hey, Michael Jackson's going to die of a drug overdose. Well, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Oh, man. You know what's funny about that? I'm going to go off tangent.
Okay, go for it.
They would call Michael Jackson the king of pop. And I thought pop, the genre, was music that used beats that sounded like balloons popping. Like,
when you were a teenager, you thought
this? He's the king of pop, you know, pop music. It's like, it sounds like popping. God.
You should go back.
Isn't that crazy?
You should go back in time with just a list of words with definitions and just like names of songs and just be like, listen to all of this because you're going to get made fun of.
Yep.
I don't know what my teenage self was doing. Yep. Just put the dick down and just, you know, get caught up.
That's true. I was there. There's a lot of like,
it's all minutia, but it's all stuff I would expect you to know.
There's a lot of shit I should know. Like, I should have picked up on, and I should know, like, to this day, that I learned in like high school or fucking middle school. But I swear I was just so self-conscious and worried about girls liking me.
Oh man.
That I missed a lot of that shit.
Orion,
like, bullshit.
You know that scene in Star Wars where, wait, what's Star Wars? What is this Star Wars? Are you fucking kidding me?
Put that dick down.
Yeah. Stop masturbating to animated GIFs of boobs jiggling and start reading things or watching movies or whatever. Then Sean Ryan says, I'd tell my past self that it turns out Sulu and Doogie Howser are gay. Not for each other, though we're not that far in the future yet. George Takei and Neil Patrick Harris.
Yep.
I honestly kind of found Neil Patrick Harris a little surprising, but like in hindsight, I don't think I should have. And George Takei, I mean, the writing was on the wall, you know? He was a fabulous man. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have found that all that surprising either. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, my mind has been blown.
People would come out and it's like, oh my God, they're gay. But George Takei, he was one of those gays that just looked like a dick belonged in their mouth. You know, they just, you couldn't see him any other way. They just, like, they looked like they were missing something every time they spoke. And it's like, oh, they just put a dick in there. And that makes sense.
Asian gays are the best gays. Really, I imagine George Takei spends his day like sitting in a lawn chair, just sunning himself with like a martini in one hand and like a kimono on, but nothing but boxer briefs on underneath, and he's got it open, and he's just got other like prepubescent Asian boys fanning him with palm fronds and things. Asian gays, and he grows his fingernails out really long for no reason.
That's one thing I'll have to disagree on. The best gays are the hardcore gangster black gays, in my opinion.
Well, I guess,
those are the best.
I suppose that
really?
It could be argued either way, that the best gays are the most like ridiculous gays, like super gay gays, or the best gays could be the gays you wouldn't expect to be gays. Like I saw, I saw this video. You've probably seen it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like these hardcore ghetto gangster bitch dogs.
Yep.
And they're like rapping and shit and like fronting at the camera. And then the camera pulls back and this guy's got little short shorts on and he starts doing this like disco dance on roller skates. Yep. Have you seen that one?
I haven't, but I need to.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Mike David on Red Bar Radio does this character that he calls Gay Gangster.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like a Latino gangster because he's got kind of a Mexican voice.
Mm-hmm.
but like it'll be like, hey dog, give me a kiss. I don't know, I can't do it, and it would be hacky if I did, but it's pretty good, it's pretty funny. So yeah, like a hardcore gangster that just happens to be a faggot.
Fuck yes.
Would be pretty great.
There's this, I'm sure you've seen it, this picture of a DVD porno that's out there called like Poor Little White Boy. Have you seen it? It looks like a 13-year-old white boy, and there's just like 8 hardcore beefed up black gangsters.
No,
and you,
I think it's,
I can't
funny.
Imagine, like, why are there so many? Are they all in there at some point?
I think it's funny that we were just talking about all the things that you don't know somehow.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm sure you've seen it. It's this gay porno with boy in the name. You've seen that, right? Yeah. No, I have not.
Okay.
Usually I skip the pornos that have boy in the name.
Okay.
Young Thai boy gets orgasmed on by 8 black men. Yeah. Oh, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Well, then our buddy Devin says, did you know that B00 lives in Michigan? Possible interview. Now, this one requires a little bit of explanation.
Yeah.
I mentioned B00 before. B00 is a guy that does Minecraft Let's Plays.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my personal favorite at the moment. He's a funny guy. And he's got like his voice almost cracks me up. Like there are certain people who just have voices that I cannot account for. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know how they got them. You know, just mannerisms and ways of speaking that I don't know where that even comes from. It's not really an accent. It's just the way that particular, like Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what Christopher Walken talks about. Every like really bad stand-up comedian does a Christopher Walken impression.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that fucking voice come from?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just some kind of weird brain damage he suffered at birth. I don't know. But he has a particular way of talking, and B00 kind of does too, and that's half of what I like about him. Plus, he's just funny. He seems like a really nice guy. And yes, I did know that he lived in Michigan. I don't know where he lives in Michigan. I just knew that he lived in Michigan. Possible interview? I don't know, because like the one time we did an interview, it was with that Jay Pavlina guy who did Super Mario Brothers Crossover,
mm-hmm.
which was a game that I loved, and I talked about at length for a while, and nobody gave a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame you for not giving a fuck. That's just not your thing or whatever. But then I was so excited about it, and we'd never done an interview, and we had this like minor internet celebrity on the show. Mm-hmm. It was our first. I was excited,
mm-hmm.
and nobody gave a fuck.
Nobody.
And again, I don't blame you, but it was kind of a waste of an episode. And then he, it turns out, didn't even like the show. He's got a page on his website that's just links to articles and interviews and
yeah.
podcasts he's been on, and ours has never shown up in there. And I went into his forum at one point and I posted about it, and he emailed me afterwards and was like, yeah, I just didn't feel it represented me very well. You know, no offense, but I just didn't really want to link to it. And he still never linked to it.
God,
so he's well aware that it's not like he just forgot. He's well aware that it's not posted there. He doesn't want it posted there.
Yeah.
Which maybe because he went and listened to old episodes or something, and he's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to be associated with with this show. I don't know.
I don't know. I can kind of get behind him, because if you watch his videos, he's fucking hilarious. He's just so weird.
Well, he's very deadpan. He's kind of a weird looking guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of monotone, and he says ridiculous things.
Yeah.
He's kind of entertaining.
But he didn't. Yeah, you would have never picked up on that listening to the interview. He sounded tired, you know? Like, hey, guys, I'd love to not interview him, but just call him up and chat, talk about dumb shit. Well,
technically speaking, I think I do still have his phone number. But
I wouldn't call him now.
No, but I wouldn't either.
But sometimes, just have him on for like 10 minutes. Shit, that'd be fun.
Nah, but, well, B00,
yeah.
Possible interview. If you mean like get him in the studio, like I'm not... I don't think he'd do it, because wherever he lives, I'm pretty sure it's not that close.
Yeah.
It's not like he lives
We'd
across
have to pay
town.
His ass.
Right. And I'm guessing that's what you mean. Either that or us go out to him, because like otherwise what difference does it make that he lives in Michigan?
Yeah.
But even if we just did it over Skype or over the phone or whatever, like I don't know if people would care. I kind of doubt that they would. Maybe a couple people would care, but most people would be like, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. I think he could hold his own on the show. I think he's funny enough. I think his sense of humor is close enough to ours that mm-hmm. it wouldn't be like terribly out of place, but he has no idea who we are. Like there's really nothing in it for him.
Yeah.
He has so many more subscribers on his YouTube thing than we have listeners. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it would work out to me. Plus, I talked about last week a little bit that I'm kind of in a place right now that's sort of like with the show, that's sort of like a waiting period.
Yeah.
Like there's things I want to do with the show that I can't do right now. So I'm just kind of riding it out, trying to do the best we can with the show as it is. But something like getting people in for interviews and things like that is something I kind of want to do down the line when I feel like we're more, like I've gotten the show more established the way I want it to be.
Yeah.
Like when I've finally redone the website and finished up this room and gotten some nice boom mic arms and stuff, and it doesn't look like my shitty bedroom with half painted walls and, you know, cigarette ash all over this table I bought at the local department store or whatever. It's just this plastic thing that's meant to be like a temporary table you put out when you're having a picnic or something.
Jizz socks everywhere.
Socks everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. So that's it for the Twitter.
All right.
So moving on to the old Facebook. Gavin Almond says, am I the only person in the world who gets seriously fucked off when people are all, oh my God, so many games coming out, my poor wallet, wah, wah. Steam sales and new releases don't steal your fucking money. You throw it at them. I've heard people say this. Yeah. It's usually though, when I hear people say it, is people on like video game podcasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't really have any gamer friends.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, regular people are saying this shit too, like, oh, my poor wallet. Oh, all these games, they're all $60. I can't help but buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are saying that. Usually when I hear people say it, it's people who kind of sort of work in the industry. Like they do sort of need to have some of these games. But if people are saying that, then yeah, I mean, you don't have to buy them.
Yeah.
And you definitely
wait in line for hours in the cold, freezing your balls off.
Yeah. I'm not entirely opposed to that. You know, like when a brand new game is coming out and I go and I wait in line for it, usually I won't do it because there's usually nothing I care that much about. But if there was something that I was super excited about and I could have it right fucking now, or I can wait like till tomorrow or
a day,
it's not a big deal to wait a day. But if I'm that excited about, like when I was a kid and Super Mario Brothers 3 was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the option to go camp out at night, not camp out, but, you know, wait in line at like midnight and pick it up as soon as it came out, you better fucking believe I would have been there. So if I'm excited enough about it, then sure, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But you can't possibly feel that way about all like six games that are coming out that you're interested in, you know?
Yeah.
What am I gonna do without this fucking game? There's gotta be like one of them that you can settle for right now. And you wouldn't be able to really play them all right now anyway, right? You get engrossed in one.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You got these five other games sitting here that just broke the bank. Like, just pick one and wait on the other ones.
I know some faggots that requested time off for this shit. You know, so they could play it.
See,
like,
I don't have a problem
for
48 with that
hours straight.
If there was a game, there hasn't been in a long time, but if there was a game I was excited enough about, I would consider taking the day that I knew I was going to get it off so I could just play the shit out of it that day. That would be a great day.
I don't know what it is about it that bugs me.
It's because so you don't faggy. Play any fucking
it's
video
so
games.
Faggy to me.
It's because the only video games you play are on the Wii when you're wasted. That's why it's not a thing to you.
Yeah.
The only consoles you own are a Wii and like an Xbox that was gifted to you, like an original Xbox. So you don't give a shit about games. That's why.
I think the big problem I have is the whole people want to play it as soon as possible and play it as much as possible so they can get really good at it and get their ranks.
That's some people. It depends on the game. If you're talking about like Call of Duty, that's probably some of it. Like my old roommate, Mike, was that I've talked about it before. He had this mentality that I don't understand. A lot of people feel this way, and I guess it's fine. You know, that's how you feel about video games, but it's this, they see it as a competitive like sporting event.
Yeah.
Like I got to get this game. I got to get really good at it. And I got to play a shit ton of multiplayer and pwn some noobs or whatever. I don't really understand what he gets about it, but to them, it's like playing football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a competitive thing I'm doing. To me, I just like video games. In fact, I far prefer single player games. I almost never play anything multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, I'd much prefer to play it with friends because like, A, it's kind of neat that we're playing together, not because I just want to go like beat some people.
Yeah.
Like I'm so much better than you. That's not what it's about to me. I don't really give a shit. But yeah, so there's that. I mean, I guess I could see that being mildly annoying, but like for me, it would be like the example I used with Super Mario Brothers 3. Like for me, it would be The closest I can think of in relatively recent history would be like Metal Gear Solid 4. I don't think I took a day off for that, and I definitely didn't like camp out and wait for it or anything. But when it came out, I spent a shit ton of time playing that game. And if I had taken a day off for it, I could have spent the whole day playing it.
Yeah.
And it would have been the best day. Like, it would have been awesome. It would have been a great day. So I can understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't play things like Call of Duty. Yeah. I guess Modern Warfare 3 either just came out or is about, I think it just came out.
Just came out.
I give absolutely no shits about Modern Warfare 3. Mm-hmm. I guess is there a new Battlefield game too?
Battlefield 3. I didn't even know there was a Battlefield 1 or 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't give a shit.
I don't know anything about those. Like those first person shooter war games and stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't care at all. And Skyrim is a big one. Is that out yet, or is that that come out today?
Today, yep.
Yeah, that's a big one that people are in love with. They love those Elder Scrolls games. I used to hear a lot about Oblivion. I never really heard anything about what is the Morrowind? Morrowind, I think, was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But Oblivion, I think, was the previous one, and I used to hear a lot about that one. But those fall into that category of like fantasy stuff that I don't give a shit about. Mm-hmm. I've tried to explain before. There's like a Western fantasy aesthetic with like dwarves and everything looks like it's made out of rocks and fists.
Yeah.
And I just don't care.
Yeah.
But people are super psyched about that. I heard you can fish in that game, which is always good. Anytime you can fish,
yeah,
the game gets an extra star. I don't know. There's dragons.
Hey, dragons.
Because that's never been done. I don't know. I don't get what people get about it.
And me neither. Yeah. God damn.
But hey, it's cool. That's your Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
John Cassane says, what do you really like, but figure people will be surprised you like? Like if Orion was a huge fan of the National Organization of Women or something like that. I've been thinking about this ever since I saw this post, and I'm really having trouble coming up with it. The best example I can think of right now doesn't really count anymore because I don't really give a shit about it anymore, but I went through a weird phase when I think I just was not hanging out with enough people and I was too much inside my own head in my own weird little world and I didn't understand how strange some of the things I was doing were.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really super into the remake of The Parent Trap.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't remember how I first saw it either. Like, I don't remember if we rented it or I don't think I like illegally downloaded it. Like, I don't think I sought it out, but somehow I saw it and it was just so happy.
Okay.
Really, right. Like that's the best example or the best explanation I can come up with. It was just such a happy movie. Like everything felt good about it. Like the dad lives in the Napa Valley in Northern California. He owns his own vineyard. Everything's sunny all the time and nice and he's got money. And like the daughters were really well taken care of. And I don't know, like the parents seemed nice. Everything about it was nice. Everything's about getting the parents back together. It's all romantic. It just was all nice. And I guess it came at a time when I felt like weird and closed off, like a creep.
Yeah, this is your escape.
Sort of. It was a weird place to find it. I agree that it's weird that, you know.
I'm kind of sitting here like, who the fuck are you and what have you done with Kyle?
But this is what I'm saying. Like, I was such a weird fucking creep and didn't know anything about, like, there's no frame of reference. You leave a person alone long enough and they're going to start doing weird shit.
Because
they don't understand. I think everybody's got that possibility in them. And I spent so much time alone with nobody judging me nobody to answer to.
Yep.
And I don't think I did anything wrong. It's just weird and creepy. It was the Lindsay Lohan movie, which had nothing to do with it for me at the time. Cause it was like, I think it was like her first big thing and I had no idea who she was and she was really young, but I worry if I say like, I was really into the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap movie that people are going to think it's some kind of creepy sexual thing. Yeah. It's not. She was like 11 and I had no idea who she was. It's not a pedo thing. But it was such a happy movie. It made me feel good to watch it. And I sort of developed this weird attachment to it. And I ended up, there was this bunny in the movie that the girls had, I think named Cuppy or something.
Yeah.
And I found they apparently made a plush toy of this. And I saw it at the Disney store.
Oh, my God.
And I got it.
Oh, my God.
I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it. But I had this fucking stuffed animal. And I was probably like 15 or something. Like, there's no excuse for this.
Yeah.
I just was a fucking weirdo creep. And I didn't know it.
Weird.
I couldn't see it, you know?
Yeah.
But that's like the best example I can think of. And I don't remember that much about the movie now. I don't know what happened to that rabbit. If you put it on right now, I might watch it. I don't know. I don't care anymore. So it's a bad example because it's not something I really like that I'd be surprised people.
Yeah, I was surprised just to hear that. Yeah. Wow. But let's see. I'm really trying to think. The only thing, I don't have much that I hide.
Oh. It doesn't necessarily have to be something you hide. Just
nothing would surprise anybody.
That's like, never come up.
I've been listening to Enya lately.
Yeah. That's a little surprising.
So the fuck what? But people, I swear to God, most of my friends listen to good music, you know? Uh-huh. And I can't get into a lot of it. I just can't. But I understand it's fucking
brilliant. It's funny
brilliant
that you describe
shit.
It as good music then.
Like I read the lyrics and they're fucking brilliant, but I can't listen to it. You know, it just doesn't grab me by my balls. And so I picture them, like say I'm on Facebook and I'm like listening to, or I post something like, I'm listening to Nickelback. Oh, and they're like, figures, it's Orion, you know, he doesn't really get music. He's listening. But what I really mean is, you know, I'm listening to it because it's ridiculous and I'm dancing like in my underwear to it.
There's some Nickelback that I like because it's like,
yes,
but it's not just that I'm laughing at it. Like I actually do kind of like
it's
it. I can kind of rock out to it, but it is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like it could be, these could be parody songs and I would still, but it sounds rocking and I can rock out to it.
Yeah.
Like that fucking Animals song is ridiculous, but it's got a nice like riff and stuff. So I can get into that. Yeah. But your taste in music kind of, I don't know that I fully understand it. Like I don't know that I have it figured out because there are basically three types of music that I know that you like. There's like slightly punky rock kind of music.
Yeah.
And there's, I want to use the term emo, but that's not really accurate. Like Elliot Smith style, kind of emotional, but not really emo.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, I guess it still kind of falls under rock, but not really.
Yeah,
kind of stuff. And then then there's like the acid trip, like ambient electronic shit.
Yeah,
that you listen to, and that stuff I can never get into. That last category, like I've seen you in the past a long time ago, link to like MySpace pages of bands, and I check them out, and it's like sweeping synths and it's slow, and for me it's hard to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of that like emotional, I like Elliot Smith, but some of that in a weird way, I think, like, I know you like Angels and Airwaves, and I think that sort of falls into that category.
Yeah.
That sort of like straddles the line between the slightly punky rock music and the emotional stuff. I don't know, so I have a hard time gauging if you would like something or not.
Well, wouldn't that kind of not make it so you're not surprised? Like, hey, I was listening to this. Well, of course
in a
you were.
In a
you
way,
like all kinds of weird shit.
In a way, yeah. For me, it's not that surprising that you were listening to Enya because it's sort of kind of, it's not really electronic in the same way, but it sort of kind of falls into that third category.
It's like a fat girl type thing to listen to Enya, you know? Like,
but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people who know you but don't know you that well would be surprised to find that
possibly,
out. Like you look at you, you look like the rocker dude.
Oh, he likes metal.
Yeah. Or something like that. Or some kind of rock, some kind of harder rock is what I think people would expect from you. Maybe with a dash of hip hop here and there. I don't know.
But, this isn't surprising, but I never wanted to admit this and I don't know why. It's really not that big a deal, but the movie Hocus Pocus with, horse
Bette Midler and what's her name? Now that you said horse face, I can't. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes, yeah. When they're singing that gay ass song, God, how's it go? Come little children, I'll take thee away. I get really rock hard. I don't know why. Because I'm picturing, I don't know why, but I picture like fucking a witch, man. I don't know why. It's hot. Like, not like a real witch, but like a chick that's really into Wiccan and shit. I don't know.
That actually, it's surprising at first that you like kind of like that song. But once you start explaining
I don't even like the song, really. It's just like,
okay, but once you start explaining it, it's no longer surprising.
Yeah.
Like, once I see your reasoning, it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah. Like, going back
to... Because he wants to fuck a witch. Of course Orion wants to fuck a witch.
See, I've spoiled that issue on this show, goddammit.
Everybody knows you want to fuck a witch.
Like when you were talking about getting rides from people and it's awkward and silent. I recently was taking a ride with some woman I don't even know. She was going to take me to go vote on some union bullshit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, it was awkward silence, but I couldn't help but think the worst. Like how naughty would it be if we just pulled over? Like, I'm not, like, we're something naughty about leaving work, the work site, you know? I don't know what it is.
Oh, you just made me honk like a goose.
But, like, you're getting rides from these women. I wonder if they're thinking, like, who's this mystery man, Kyle? I don't know anything about him. Look at that coat.
Well,
badass.
I can't say what they're thinking, but I can tell you that not once on these rides home have I had even the slightest sexual thought.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened.
I believe it, yeah. Because they're, you know, they're older women, right?
Yeah. I guess another thing, I don't think this would be that surprising because I feel like I've kind of said it before on the show, but it might be surprising if you just haven't caught those particular moments. I really like romantic comedies.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even make sense to me.
I've never gotten it because you're so critical of every movie.
It doesn't.
Hypercritical. Your dad.
It doesn't mesh with how I feel about romance either.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but I really like them. Like, they give me a feeling that I like. And I like romance in movies and I like romantic comedies. Like, I watched, what is that fucking movie? I might have the wrong title. I think it's called No Strings Attached. It's this movie. That might be the wrong title.
With
but
Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah. And, and Natalie Portman. Yeah. I watched that like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Loved every minute of it. I did.
That's fucking great.
I seek them out.
Man.
I'll watch that shit and I will just love it.
There's one you've got to see because I've been told it's really good and I'm like, fuck that. It's, God, you know, I shouldn't have brought this up. I can't remember what it's called, but it's got Ryan Gosling in it.
What's it, what's it about?
It's, it's a romantic comedy. I wasn't really paying attention, but everybody would tell me how good it is. Oh, Ryan. You got to go see this. I don't give a fuck. Like, pay the money to go see this. It's funny as hell.
Okay. Is it recent?
Yes.
Do you know who else is in it?
No.
It's not Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell, is it? Because I watched that movie. I can't think of the name of that right now either. But there's this movie with Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell.
That might have been it, yeah.
Ryan Gosling is like this kind of playboy. Mm-hmm. He goes out to the bars and he picks up chicks. He's like a pickup artist. Mm-hmm. And Steve Carell is about to get a divorce from his wife. Like, that's how the movie starts. Mm-hmm. She asks for a divorce and he gets real depressed. He starts hanging out in this bar and seeing this guy picking up chicks and stuff. And he's hanging out at the bar getting drunk and talking shit about his wife and talking about how terrible his life is and stuff. And one day Ryan Gosling comes up to him and he's like, I'm going to help you out. And he starts helping him pick up chicks. He takes him out to the mall, gets him a whole new wardrobe.
Yeah.
And he starts like turning his life around kind of. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Of course it was.
I dug it.
That's just blowing my mind.
That movie had Emma Stone in it. And she perplexes me. Because I want to be in love with her.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I kind of want to puke on her.
Yeah. I want to
I can't decide if I think she's hot or not.
I could hit her and not feel bad about it.
I can't decide.
Weird? Yeah.
But yeah, the romantic comedies, they really do it for me. And I don't know why.
Ooh, hold on. The whole Emma Stone thing. When I encounter an actress like that, where I'm looking at her and I'm like, I just can't get into her. But then I think about, like, if she was just another girl and came over with a friend,
yeah,
she's like, hi Ryan, I'd be like, oh, hey, then I'd like her, you know.
I hear people say shit like that and it's not true for me. Like, I'll hear people say, like, I heard a joke from some stand-up comedian the other day. Maybe it might have been Jimmy Carr, British dude, but he said, you know, weird thing about guys is, you know, we'll see Britney Spears in a tabloid and be like, oh, she's gained, what, 15 pounds? Oh, man, she's really let herself go. But then if we banged her, we'd be like high-fiving all of our buddies and we'd be super psyched about it. If I say something like about an actress and that everybody else thinks is a smoking hottie and I'm like, I don't know, man, she's got just a weird face or I don't know, like she doesn't, she's become a bit of a chubster or whatever.
people would be like, you'd still hit it. You'd still bang her. Man, if she came in this room, your fucking jaw would hit the floor. No, it wouldn't. I'm sorry. It just wouldn't. Maybe that makes me an asshole. I don't know. But it's not true. It just because, like, I don't have a separate set of standards for these famous chicks. Like, oh, she's got a freckle. Fuck that bitch. But if she was like a normal girl, I'd be all over. It's not true. That's not how it works. I mean, the closest thing I can think of to that is that there are occasionally people who I wouldn't be that attracted to. Mm. But like once I get to know them, there's something about that that makes them somehow more attractive. It almost actually transforms them physically in my head, like becoming familiar with them and stuff. But that's if that was the case, then I would be in love with these actresses already because I've seen them so many times. And, you know, I've gotten a chance to get familiar with their, probably not their personality, but, you know, a personality that they put on in all these movies. That's been written for them. I should love them more, you know, because they have these great personalities that have been written for them. I don't know. Not the case. But romantic comedies are the bomb.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I can't think of any others, so I guess I'll move on. Yeah. Mike Johnson, my old roommate, says, since it's Veterans Day, talk about your old war stories. Let me tell you, man. When I was in the war, I lost a leg and it was bad. I went to a Vietnamese hooker and I fucked her.
Of course you did.
And she said, hey, give me that money. And I said, I don't have any. And she said, then give me that leg. And I said, which one? And I said, the left foot is a little wonky. Could you take the left leg? And she said, no, I'm taking the right. And I let her have it. And Jesus. Then I stepped on a landmine and I lost the other one. And I went home in a body bag. I faked my own death is what I did because I didn't want to go to the next war when the next one came up. That Korean War I wanted no part of. So I faked my own death.
They ship you FedEx in a body bag. Yeah,
I went to South America where I hooked up with a Nazi war criminal that was in hiding in Argentina, and he hooked me up with a back alley plastic surgeon, changed my whole face. I used to be black, changed my whole body, my whole face, gave me robot legs. And then I met a witch doctor and in Haiti, and I said, hey, stop making those zombies for a minute and make me forever young. And he did. But it was like when you find a genie and you make a wish and you're like, I wish I had $1 million. And then like the genie's kind of an asshole and he makes $1 million in like quarters appear above your head and they all fall and kill you.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. The guy was like, okay, I'll make you forever young. Poof. I was a baby. And then he put me in a basket and he carried me up to the US and he found a lady and he shoved me up her, you know, area. And then I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to live this life ever since.
Rough. Man, that's rough.
You know, the worst thing about it was I had no debt before I got turned into that baby.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell the old
war
tale.
Is hell, Orion.
Tell the old tale that my grandfather told me that just cracked me up because my grandpa was like a real 50s proper guy, you know? And he would always tell like racist jokes and whisper the word nigger, like nigger.
Okay.
That kind of guy.
So like, hey, what do you say when your television floats across the room? Drop it, nigger.
Yeah.
Nigger.
He just whispers it separate. He just whispers it separately.
Yeah. But we went to visit some destroyer ship and
okay.
He was standing there, you know, looking off in the distance and thinking about the war times. He was just a radio guy. I shouldn't say it like that. He was just some pussy ass radio guy running a radio. What a pussy. But he told me this story where at night he'd go out and look off the bow or whatever and he'd see dolphins swimming. And he said the way he said it, like, I nearly shat my pants. Because he thought they were torpedoes.
Oh.
And that is just the funniest fucking thing. I don't know. Just to hear him, like, Mr. Proper Grandpa, you know, I nearly shat my pants. He never said shit. He never said shit or swore. Yeah. Fucking goddamn. I don't know why, but no matter how old he got, he always reminded me of like a little boy in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like just older. Like he didn't become wiser.
Yeah.
You know, he had the same brain, you know.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'll be kicking the dirt.
Yeah. He's got a little cowlick in the back of his hair. So
I picture him like he was probably 18, but I just still pictured him as like a 8-year-old kid walking out and seeing these dolphins and be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know?
Always drinking a malted milkshake.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Yep. Oh, gee whiz, the Nazis. Because your grandpa was that old. It's just fighting the Nazis.
That makes World War II seem even more silly because you got all these guys that are like, well, I'll be, you know, on the front lines.
Yeah.
Jiminy Cricket, that bullet nearly struck me in the noggin.
They've all got buck teeth and freckles. They're all wearing their Sunday best out on the front lines.
Oh, gee whiz. Oh, boy.
Yeah. There was this other time. Man, they sent me out on this mission, and they put me into hypersleep. And I woke up, and they introduced me to this like, real old lady, like, probably over 100 years old. But she looked good for her age because I guess she had been in hypersleep for a really long time. Anyway, she'd been to this place we were going before. She was there as a consultant. So we went out and we had to find out what was wrong with all these colonists on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we touched down and we go into this colony and there's just nobody anywhere. We can't find anybody. We find some areas that are just blocked up. They just welded all kinds of shit together, ladders and chairs and shit, just welded it all together to block this area up. Finally, we find this little kid hiding in the air vents, and she's a real bitch, just screaming and screaming. And all we know is there's something crazy going on. And we finally get around the barricade, and we find this area that's just all covered in this sticky shit. It's just all sticky shit everywhere. I don't know what the deal is. And all of a sudden, these crazy monsters start coming out, and they eat all of my buddies. And then so
they ate all your buddies.
Yeah, we fought all these monsters, and there was a really big one. But I, at that point, I had gotten some acid blood on my chest, and I had to go sleep in the spaceship. But that old lady, she took a grenade launcher and a fucking flamethrower. She duct taped them together, which is not advised. But she wasn't military; she didn't know any better. So she goes and she fights this crazy big thing. She blows up all the eggs. And then she gets in this big robot thing. It's like a robot forklift.
Yeah.
And I, again, not advised. That's not how I would deal with a monster, but whatever, you know, she gets in this robot thing and they basically wrestle. She kicks the big monster out the door of the spaceship. And then we just set sail off into space. And eventually, I guess there were some more eggs and they hatched and they killed me and the little girl. And then that chick shaved her head and went to live with some prisoners. And I guess I don't know what happened after that because I'm dead. It was a good time, though.
Jesus fucking Christ. I swear you've told that story.
They made a movie about it.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, you told that story like you were in that movie.
Really?
I get it.
Have
no,
I done
I'm
that
serious.
Before? Am I repeating bits?
I've been having deja vu like crazy.
Oh, you're probably psychic.
No. I think I have like a tumor or something. I don't know.
It could be.
I've been posting, it's been a while, but when I post shit, like videos or music, like shit I find that's from like years back, I post it to people's walls like, oh, this is funny, or ooh, check this out, this is cool. After I do it, I'm like, I swear I did this like 2 years ago.
Mm.
Then I'm like, no way, man. And I'm looking at like my, you know, put this song up and you can see the CD cover. And I'm like, I've seen this before.
Yeah, this particular combination.
Just discovered it today. What the fuck? But anyway.
Deja vu is, well, this is going to sound really stupid. Yeah, everybody knows this. Yeah. But deja vu is a weird fucking thing. Like every once in a while, I'll get some strong deja vu. Like I swear this precise combination of things has happened before.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no way.
There's no way.
Just can't possibly be.
Yeah.
Like I'll feel like I must have dreamed it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember exactly when I remember it from or why. And of course, everybody gets deja vu. It's not a really well understood thing. but it's understood that everybody gets it. It's not like I'm special or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels so fucking weird. And when I was a kid, I did go through this brief period where I started to wonder if maybe, wow, this is going to sound real dumb, but if maybe I was here for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe I had some kind of importance because yeah. I would get deja vu all the time.
That's
and
so
I would
cute.
Also get this, there's a word for it, but I can't think of what it is. But this, that thing where like you hear a word for the first time
mm-hmm.
And you get like, you understand what it means and everything. You find out what it means. And it's the and you swear it was the first time you've ever heard this word. And then all of a sudden you hear it everywhere for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you're introduced to a concept and all of a sudden you see like three articles discussing it or like somebody at work just brings it up.
Mm-hmm. And it's growing in popularity.
Yeah. That also happens to everybody. But it felt, I was relatively young at the time that I was thinking this, but it mm-hmm. felt like, I mean, this can't possibly happen this often.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, what do you call it? Confirmation bias. It's like, of course it happens. So many things happen all the time. Think about how many things that doesn't happen with.
Mm-hmm.
How many times you've learned about something and you haven't seen it everywhere in the next like yeah. couple of days. You know, you're just remembering the few times that it's
yeah.
happened.
We just pick up on those. Yeah.
And it could be.
Coincidence.
It could be that like wherever you saw it, other people saw it there too. So it's more like in everybody's collective consciousness, you mm-hmm. know. Anyway, that's boring.
Going back to the aliens thing.
Aliens? What's this aliens?
What if someone made a parody movie and replaced, you know, the name Aliens with
niggas.
Crazy ass niggas. And instead of aliens, they're just, you know, hardcore gangsters.
But everything else is the same. They still have acid blood. There's still all this weird, like, secreted shit all over the walls. They still have face huggers. But it's just black children that literally hug your face. They
Daddy.
Jump. They yeah. jump out of eggs.
Oh God!
And hug your face. I don't know what they're doing, sticking their dick down your throat or what. But they
oh,
implant
God.
An egg.
They're in the ceiling, and you have that device, and it's like they're getting closer.
And you just hear shit. Motherfucker gonna get capped.
Yeah.
And then they find the queen, and it's just a really obese black woman. Just shitting out oh, eggs.
Star Jones.
Yeah, yeah yes. But just massive. Just and she's oh, wearing a thong.
Yeah.
Oh, just shitting out oh. eggs.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
Just shitting out eggs and like eating chicken out of a bucket.
That's horrible.
What? Oh, oh, yeah, man. That would be good.
Mm,
that yeah. would be good. I would watch that. Or faggots.
Yeah.
But they actually do have acid for blood,
yeah.
so it wouldn't be that much yeah. of a stretch.
Yeah.
Then John Cassane says on the Facebook, he says, also, would you ever hire a male babysitter? I really wouldn't. Sexism? Nah. Orion, you're the only one here with a baby. Would you ever hire a male babysitter?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know why. Let me think. I don't know. It's just like a woman's place, you know? It's their thing.
Wow. Yeah. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a kid, so, you know, whatever. But I don't think I would really care. But I guess it kind of depends, though. Like, I think I would be very hesitant to hire a babysitter anyway, you know, yeah. somebody I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if it's between a girl I don't know and a guy I don't know, maybe I'd be more hesitant about hiring a guy I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because there is, like, it really doesn't make sense. Like, there's no reason a guy couldn't do it, but there is sort of like a societal thing about, you know, gender roles and whatever. And so it becomes a question of what is wrong with this guy that made him want to enter into child
yeah,
care?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, like, I was just about to say, like, I'd hire a gay guy.
Okay. All right.
If he seemed very nurturing, you know.
But you have a boy.
But just a. Yeah.
So, like,
he better not eyeball my kid. He's probably going to fuck him. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying because he's gay, he would fuck your kid. What I'm saying is if you're skeptical about a guy because yeah. you're afraid he's going to fuck your kid,
yeah.
then a gay guy, he's a boy. It's not like him being gay is going to prevent him from fucking your kid.
Yeah, that's true.
But I really do think from what I've heard about pedophiles that it really has much. It doesn't have much to do with gender, like because pre-puberty, there's not a whole lot of difference. And mm-hmm. it's really more about the childlikeness mm-hmm. yep. and less about the genitalia or yep. whatever. But, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, if it was a friend, I would have no problem with a dude watching my kids. If it was a hired babysitter, somebody I didn't know, maybe I'd be like, I don't know about that dude. I'd rather go with a chick. If it was like a daycare, like an established daycare, and there happened to be a guy working there, I just wouldn't care. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Which might be kind of silly, but I guess it's because there's something slightly more official about it or something. Like, I went into childcare as a job, as opposed to I posted on Craigslist that I'm willing to spend time alone with your children, you know?
Yeah.
And there are other people around, you know, in childcare. Yeah. But so I don't really think I would care that much. I guess given the option between a man and a woman, I might go with the woman, but
yeah,
it wouldn't be a big deal to me. But you definitely know no dudes.
No way.
No dudes allowed. Have you, you were telling me earlier that, did you want to talk at all about the thing?
Not a whole lot.
Aldi's mom.
Yeah. Aldi's mom has, I guess, lost it. I don't know. She just, called Aldi one day, the other day, and basically said, I'm not coming home, because she's been visiting her mom, Aldi's grandma, because she's really old and not doing so well. She like cooks for her and cleans for her.
Aldi, just in case somebody knew was listening, is Orion's fiance, his baby mama.
Baby mama.
Yep. Yeah. So Aldi's mom is...
She's been watching our kid, and out of the blue, like around midnight, she called, and she was crying, and she's basically telling Aldi, I'm not coming home, you guys treat me like shit, I get no respect, blah, 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 and that was it, and it's...
So she ran away from home like an angry teenager.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
She didn't come back home, discuss it. She bucked us in a way. And we didn't want her to feel like we needed her, but we kind of did.
Right. Like she's trying to leverage this against you. Exactly. Like you better fucking start. Well, I don't know what she wants you to do.
She said, she did say, like, I'll come back if you change, like you treat me better.
But what does that mean? What does she want you to do that you weren't doing before? What does she want you to stop doing?
Like, we'll yell at her when she fucks up.
Like you fucking live here for free. We don't really ask anything of you except that you maybe clean up a little bit here and there and you watch our kid, which you only have had to start doing fairly recently.
And it's like your grandkid. Aren't you supposed to like,
and she does
be happy
like,
about
she's
that?
She's kind of into the kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause she used to kind of pressure Aldi a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when are you going to have a kid? Yeah. Oh,
Christ. So it's just weird. Yeah.
But, so it's not definitive, but Aldi's mom has a history of like psychotic breaks, basically.
Yep, yep.
She's got a bit of a mental issue. Mm-hmm. There was a time when she thought she was saving the world by like taping it together with gauze and putting screws into jars or something.
Yep.
Trying to save
flipping
the world.
Over the furniture and putting blankets on the ground.
Everything was inside out. And anytime there were a pair of shoes on the floor, they were backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like the right shoe would be on the left and the left shoe would be on the right.
Yep.
So it's not definitive that she's having one of those episodes right now, but you think she might be?
Yeah. Aldi's getting a vibe. And if that's the case, I don't want her around my kid. So fuck.
Right. Yeah. So so you both don't want to...
Because then the kid will... I will come home. The kid will be in the oven.
Right. Exactly.
Know it.
So you don't want to be like, hey, we'll treat you so much nicer, which you wouldn't be able to do anyway because you don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be like that because she's basically like... It's almost blackmailing you or
exactly.
something, but
which is
plus you don't want to do it because if she comes home, she might be fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be dangerous.
Yep. So we're going to maybe wait a little bit.
So fuck her. And you know what? You guys, I mean, it's an inopportune time because you need the free childcare, but you guys kind of wanted her out anyway, right? I mean,
it's weird. Yeah. Like, anytime I'd bring up Aldi's mom, they're like, oh, where's she live? And I'm like, with us.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, really? And I'd have to like, hold on, I can explain. She's,
she's
how do I explain this?
Crazy and lazy.
She's got an illness, I guess you'd call it. Yeah. If she doesn't take her pills, like she can't work. And
it's not true that she can't work though. Like she used to have a job and didn't she lose it because she kept calling in all the time and like she just never go or no, she wouldn't even call in. She'd have like Aldi's uncle do it for her.
Yep.
So
crazy shit. Yeah.
She just couldn't hold a job, but not because she actually can't, just because she was a bitch about it.
Yep.
And when she's on her medication, she's fine.
Yep.
She could have a job. She just doesn't. And,
and
you guys don't make her and how would you, you know? So really she's had it pretty easy.
Fuck yeah.
She's just been living off of you guys. And you can't just, I mean, you could kick her out, but like,
she has like the ideal life. Like, you don't have to work.
She lives like just a
chill at home.
Cat.
Yeah.
She lives like a just cat.
Chill at home.
Just sleep all day and eat.
Yep.
And
whatever she needs, we bring to her. Mm-hmm. You know, I need cigarettes. Okay. You got it.
And she gets pissy if you don't bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I forgot your cigarettes. Yeah.
Just like a cat. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, if it were me, I'd have mixed feelings about it because, yeah, it was nice, the little convenience of having her around because, you know, you guys both work and you got the kid, got to do something with the kid during the day or, you know, the nights or whatever while you're at work. So I'd feel bad that, you know, now I have to find a babysitter and potentially pay somebody to do this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's kind of nice. You might be rid of her. You might be able to live like normal people.
Yeah, that's what it feels like in a way. So because it's one of those things like in and of itself, it's fine. You know, she does her part. She lives with us.
Yeah.
No, I can explain. But I don't know, from an outside perspective, it is weird. Like she's living with us for how long? The rest of her life, you know?
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Everywhere we go, there she is, you know?
Yeah.
Living with us. Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks.
So, yeah. I don't want to get into any of that bullshit. Nobody gives a fuck.
No, you don't have to. Whatever. I was kind of thinking recently that was all the Facebooks and Twitters, by the way.
No.
I was kind of thinking recently that my sense of humor is getting strange, and I think it's becoming more and more difficult for me to relate to normal people.
Yeah.
Because a good example of this, I'm going to show you this. I've got this animated GIF pulled up. That just had me rolling the other day. Like, I was really, like, I fell out of my chair laughing at this. Look at this. Okay. Okay. What it is it's like two dogs. I don't know do you know what kind of dogs those are? I don't know. They're sort of like bulldog looking dogs, but they're not bulldogs.
Bulldog, pit bull looking things.
Yeah. I don't know what they are, but they're humping. There's one dog fucking another one from behind, and then the one doing the fucking pukes all over and the other dog runs away. And I was laughing and laughing and laughing, and I had it just repeating, and I would just keep watching it, and I was laughing and laughing and laughing. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks it's funny because that's why it exists.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine like showing this to people at work.
Yeah.
Oh, and just like, oh God, oh, what are you showing me? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, for one, they're doing it, and then he throws up. That's like double gross.
Like, this is some serial killer shit you're showing me.
Yeah. God damn.
Do you have like a garland of baby doll heads with the eyes burnt out at home? Like, yeah. There are other examples that I can't think of right now, but just like, okay, there was this video recently that I saw online. There's this chick who, her dad is a judge. You may have seen this around. She has, I think, I don't know if it's cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy or what it is. She has some kind of something, some kind of touch of retard. And, but just a touch. You can't tell from the video. But when she was 16, she's like in her 20s now. But when she was 16, she had a video camera set up in her room. And I guess she'd been downloading illegal music, and her judge dad gets super pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes into the room, and he's got his belt in his hand, and he's like, "Turn over, I'm going to spank you on your butt." You've been like, it's getting real intense. Like, he's yelling and he's slapping her on the legs and stuff because she won't turn over, which is a little dumb on her part, because it would have been a few slaps on the butt and he would have left the room angry. But she wouldn't turn over, so she got the shit smacked out of her with his belt. And then eventually her mom comes in the room. And she's like, "Turn over and let me slap you on your butt like a 16-year-old girl or something." And it's this big, like, this video is meant to be like, check out this abuse. My dad is an asshole and he's a judge. And people were outraged over this video. And like,
oh my God, I haven't seen this.
I kind of sort of found it funny.
Yeah.
And I can't explain that. Really, because I do feel kind of bad. Like, it does suck. It was a little disturbing, but I still kind of sort of found it funny. And there was the time we watched the video of the Bosnian girl throwing puppies in the river.
Yeah.
And I sort of found that funny.
In a sick
and
way.
Everybody thought it was just the worst thing. And so, like, more and more throughout the years, like, the things I find funny are becoming more and more disturbing and dark.
Yeah.
And I'm really starting to feel like soon I will only be able to be friends with, like, 8 people on the planet. And like four out of those eight will be in prison. So I don't know.
I can totally relate. Things come to me and I'll crack up, you know, just to myself when I'm at work and people will ask, what's so funny? And I'm like, don't worry about it. But I feel like I can bring them to the show and maybe our listeners can relate. Like, that's kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as funny because it was in my head. And it's one of those, like, you have to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it was in my head. But I pictured today these two friends. And one is like, all right, let's make it rain. All right. You know? Uh-huh. And the friend's like, and they're like going to do something. And
yeah.
The other friend's like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean make it rain? That doesn't make sense. And he's like, yeah, it makes sense. We're so awesome. We're going to make it rain. And he's like, that doesn't make sense. You're an idiot. And oh, what else happened? Something else happened. But then it cuts to them in a room butt fucking. I don't know why. Hardcore, like hardcore butt fucking. Just, I don't know why that's fucking funny. And it just came to me.
Well,
make it rain.
Hardcore butt fucking is kind of funny.
That's true.
I mean, it just, like, I think if I was gay, I wouldn't be able to do it right because I'd be laughing all the time.
Oh my God. That's another thing. Butt fucking.
Yeah.
It's like the rainbow. The gays have taken over that term.
The rainbow?
Like they took the rainbow.
Oh, they've taken over butt fucking?
Yes. You can't.
You're stealing everything I love. You've stolen the rainbow. You've stolen butt fucking.
That term. Like, you don't say, hey, I butt fucked my girlfriend the other day.
Well, you could, and that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, but we say, like, I had anal sex
yeah.
with my girlfriend.
It's only dudes that butt fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And butt fucking, it's like, it's like if I said me and my girlfriend butt fucked last night, it's almost like an exchange. It's not like I fucked her in the ass. It's like I fucked her in the ass and she used something to fuck me in the ass.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
I see.
You each got
butt fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see.
Like, what?
Well, if you said I butt fucked my girlfriend last night, then it's a one way thing.
Yeah. But,
yeah, but butt fucking is pretty funny. I mean, I really do think, like, I really, because you know how I feel about sex in general. Like, I can't help but think of it as this bizarre thing that we do.
Yeah.
So if I was gay, like, it'd just be that much more absurd to me. Yeah. Just like this dude and my dick's in his butt, and like he's making these dude sounds. Yep. And I guess I maybe because I'm not gay, I don't understand. Maybe, you know, I'd find the dude sounds hot and everything, but
yeah.
But I don't know, the whole thing, just a couple of dudes going, and like one's got his dick in another guy's butt. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe that's just like,
butt fucking.
I'm not homophobic. I'm hilarious. I don't know. It's just funny to me.
Oh, man.
I was just thinking about something. Oh, well, I got this thing, this article that I was thinking about bringing up.
Yeah.
Apparently this guy in Wyoming, this high school, a head high school football coach in Wyoming has resigned after he gave his team a mock survey that used homophobic and sexist language. And they posted up the survey he gave to these kids. At the top, it says hurt feelings report. And then there's a spot for the date and a time of hurtfulness. And then there's a question A, which ear were words of hurtfulness spoken into, left, right, or both? Question B, is there permanent feeling damage? Yes or no? Question C, did you require a tissue for the tears? Yes or no? Then there's a sad, like, smiley face guy. Well, a sad face guy with little stick figure legs.
Yeah.
And he's crying and he's got a black eye. And then there's like a list of check boxes, and next to each one, there's descriptions. There's number one, I am thin skinned. Oh, these are reasons for filing the report.
Ah.
Number one, I am thin skinned. Number two, I am a pussy. Number three, I have woman like hormones. Number four, I am a queer. Number five, I am a little bitch. Number six, I am a crybaby. Number seven, I want my mommy. Number eight, my butt is easily hurt. Or number nine, all of the above.
That's great.
And then underneath that, it says name of real man who hurt your sensitive little feelings. And then there's an underline for you to write in a name.
That's fucking
Then it
great.
Says, we as a company take hurt feelings very seriously. If you don't have a mommy that can give you a hug and make it all better, please let your supervisor know and we can provide you with a surrogate. If you need them, diapers, My Doll, and a blankie can also be supplied. And then there's another blank that says name of little sissy filing report, girly man signature, and then real man signature, the person being accused.
Oh, that's great.
And this guy is apparently also a guidance counselor, and he's lost his job as a coach, but he gets to keep his job as a guidance counselor. And the whole situation is fucking hilarious to me. And you know, this article is obviously outraged. Like, he should have lost both jobs, and maybe he should have. You know, maybe a guidance counselor should be a little more sensitive than this. But I think the whole thing is fucking hilarious. And I think there's a part of the things that they're, you know, upset about is the fact that he used the word queer and that he said, I have woman-like hormones. That's sexist and that's homophobic. But I really think the point of this was more like, you know, sometimes you're just being a pussy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not such a big deal that somebody called you a name or said something you didn't like. I mean, I think if everybody could feel that way, the world would be a better place. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you insulted me. Okay.
Cry about it.
Like, you can complain. Yeah. That's fine. And in fact, sometimes that's very valid. You know, you have a right to complain, but to like try and take action against a person, sometimes you're just being a fucking pussy.
You're just being a big faggot.
And I kind of hate football coaches just in general because they're kind of all dicks. Like, the whole thing is just steeped in such bullshit. Like, they treat it like they're going to war.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you have to be a fucking man. And you see these, like, in football movies and stuff, the coaches are like throwing helmets at televisions and shit. They're so pissed off at all you fucking pussies for losing the high school football game. Because there's so, like, there's something fucked up in your head if you're that devoted to this, like that you're throwing a hissy fit as a grown man because some kids lost a football game. But still, there is some truth to this. Like, don't be such a fucking pussy shit.
Yeah.
And just the wording is hilarious because you can't say this shit. So I don't know. Maybe this is another example. This isn't a real bad example, I don't think, because I think a lot of people would find this hurt feelings report funny, even if they think this guy should be fired. But man, I was cracking up reading through this thing.
Yeah. See this? Who is this for? What age group?
High school.
High school.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. See, like, there's always some pussy bitch that runs some whatever the teacher did home to mommy, and then mommy gets upset, you know, and the, like, teachers can't be cool or funny anymore. Joke around. Because if you're in high school, you should be able to get it. If he was kind of like joking, like he's serious, like don't be a pussy, but he's not.
If I had gone to the, I never did, but if I had gone to like the principal's office or something in high school to complain about somebody saying something mean to me and they handed me this, I would have laughed my ass off. Yeah. Even if I was still upset about the thing, you know, that I came there to complain about, I would have laughed my ass off at this thing. I don't know. Like, how can you not find it funny?
Yeah,
like, pretty good. Here you go, you little pussy piece of shit. Fill this out. And how funny. I would find it even funnier to fill it out and turn it back in. You know, like, yeah, all right. You gave it to me.
God damn. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think people are pussies. But yeah. Whatever.
I'm going to print that out and give it to my kid one day.
Yeah. Ugh. I there was something else that we were going to do in this show, and I'm kind of thinking, let's not do it. Maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe we'll do it sometime off the show and post it as some separate thing. I don't know.
That's cool.
Something Miss Nick suggested to us, and I think it's a good idea. I'm not feeling it right now.
That's cool.
But I did want to say that Miss Nick is apparently not dying. She emailed me and said that, A, she was not walking nor driving. She was cycling.
Ah,
I was right. They were horses she was seeing, and there are a lot of those around.
Yeah.
There are places in near her, like on her trip to the hospital, where there's just nothing. Like, there are no buildings at all, really.
Okay.
It's just out in the middle of nowhere. And she said that when she got her blood drawn, she still hasn't told me what she was doing there, if it was just like some kind of random checkup or whatever. But she said that when she got her blood drawn, she passed out, and then she just, whenever she passes out, she has a seizure. And I wonder if that's like when I used to have fainting spells when I was a teenager. My dad said one time, because I would stand up too fast or whatever, I would faint, and then I would wake up on the floor. And my dad said he saw me one time and that I was shaking, like convulsing, Jesus. Like I was having a seizure. But then the doctor said, I don't remember what they said it actually was. Maybe they didn't say, but he said it wasn't a seizure. It just kind of looked like one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, that's the same thing. It's just something that happens when you pass out. But I still want to know, you know, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
What kind of super AIDS do you got, Miss Nick?
I don't think my concern for Miss Nick,
I don't think it sounds really serious,
came through in last week's episode. I really was like, oh man, what's going on? It's probably nothing, but you know.
I think I would hope if it was something she would tell us so that we could pray for her recovery.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think it's anything serious, but I still feel like she's telling us half stories, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I went to the hospital and had blood drawn and had a seizure. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, what the fuck happened? Oh, you know, every time I pass out, I have a seizure. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if that's how she converses with people, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I'm pregnant by a demon. Bye.
What?
Wait a minute. There's more to this story. Anyway. I guess I'm ready to bring this to a close.
Sounds good.
I noticed in the forums that it is apparently our buddy Eris cousin's birthday, or was today.
Mm-hmm.
He's 41 years old. So happy birthday to you.
Seriously? He's 41?
No.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Like, wow.
You're so gullible.
He's got a condition. Looks really good.
I got some snake oil to sell you, Orion.
Sexy condition. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so this has been I Just Had a Terrible Thought. Thank you for listening. As usual, you can email me at kyle@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
Or you can email me at orion@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
And you can leave us a voicemail at 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581.
And you can check us out on the forums. ijusthadaterriblethought.com/forum. Check out the Facebook and the Twitter, facebook.com/idchat and twitter.com/idchat. And of course, you can always donate. It's Orion's birthday month still.
Yay!
We did receive a donation, which we are very grateful for. Mm-hmm. The person asked to remain anonymous, so I can't tell you who it was, but it was very, very nice.
Yes.
And we appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm not sure, right?
That should do it. Thanks for listening, guys. We will check you next week.
Word.
Butt sex.
Butt sex word.